Hi, Jim and them. I hear that your podcast is absolutely incredible. It's a showstopper every time.
Just take a minute, okay? You have something to say. I have something to say. All right, so let's just talk, okay?
Well, fuck, let's get it, Nate.
Quiet down now. It is time to watch the show. Yes, it started. Don't be licking me no more. Matter of fact, could you get me a handy wire?
With their powers combined, they become pop culture. With their powers combined, they become Jim and Them, the greatest podcast in the world.
Cut some papers, you bitches.
This is a comedy show.
And we've taken over the industry. We've taken over the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's make something amazing happen right now.
Twisted people. Okay, so the name of the show is called Jim and Them. Who the hell are you people? You disgusting scumbags. We're certainly not telling you to go after Jim and Them, but, you know, maybe helping us make sure that their channel is eradicated forever.
What it do? Welcome, everybody. It's Friday night. It's Jim and Them night. You are tuned in right now live on the Jim and Them YouTube channel. This, my friends, is a Corey Feldman show.
Woo!
You've come to the right place.
It's all we ever talk about. Why don't you talk about something else?
Literally, their whole show is about degrading my music and my art and my my face and my
Shut
lips.
Up, Jim. I'm Corey.
No, I'm Corey Feldman.
Now, I have to say, I mean, we always give a shout-out to the motherfucking real ones at the start of every show. I mean, of course, we got some real ones in the chat. We got Alex Kamen. We got Bubbles.
Yamira came back.
Oh, nice.
Look at,
oh,
us.
Look at
back.
Us now. Look at us now.
Hallelujah.
No, shout out.
We got Shrewman, Goofy Old Wizard. That's just a few. But I do want to shout out the collective, because we've built quite a wolf pack these past couple of weeks. And I love you wolves out there. I love you filth pigs out there, because, I mean, everyone's telling us about this Billy Corgan podcast, which Corey was on this week. It's like this guy gives us gifts, because we're like, fuck, what are we going to talk about this week? How about a new fucking podcast that he's on saying a bunch of bullshit?
Well, I called up Billy. I was like, yo, Billy, you got anything in the can that you weren't going to use?
Holy shit. Can't believe I'm here. Best lunch break ever.
Oh,
of
hell yeah.
Of course. No comparison to those lucky bastards at the lunchroom concert. Oh, can the blonde one wear a jersey or sleeveless shirt for most of the show, by chance?
Ooh, burn!
Is that me? Yeah, that's you. That's his style. He's got his sleeveless shirt on right now. Uh-oh, you just shamed him off camera. Thank you so much, Sarah Strickland.
There's
$20
again, huh? It's everybody else's fault.
Welcome to the welcome to continuing me in the Corey Cowboys, Jukane. You scared Mike off cam. I think he's going to get
a coward.
He's either going to get a jersey or he's going to put sleeves on to spite you.
Ooh.
That's the surprise we have to wait for.
He grabs the sleeves that he cut off the shirt and pulls them back on.
The rest of the show is him just sewing them onto his shirt.
He's got
a jersey.
Good evening, cowards.
Okay.
But yeah, so everyone's telling us about this Billy Corgan podcast, and even better is scrolling through the comments on that video, and you're seeing fucking, You're seeing Wolfpack. You're seeing Cocoa Buns.
Cowards.
Mm-hmm. Wait, shit, Jim. How much was that TTS that person sent about the jersey?
That was $20.
$20 and I'll change my shirt.
Whoa.
That's the new bit.
Okay.
You TTS $20 and tell me what shirt I'm going to wear and I'll wear it.
Oh, my God. A wardrobe change. Actually, because now that I'm talking about the comments, we did get an email. Hold on. Let me find that real quick. We got an email from someone who's convinced that they've been shadow banned on that. Where is it? Oh, yeah. I wanted to let you know that this is from Frank. Hi, Jim and them. I wanted to let you know that right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you, Sarah. That's $2 thanking you for the shirt, for the wardrobe change,
all right,
Mike.
Take one of your socks off, Mike. $2.
You're welcome.
We got Robster Boy coming in a second. There we go.
What is up with the youth? Carry on, please.
Thank you, Robster Boy. Eastern Time. My comment on the Magnificent Others with Billy Corgan has been shadowed. I can tell by looking at it in privacy mode, and I just can't find it. It's simply not shown to the public anymore. My first comment on the channel, so is enough for Billy or his social media person to ban me. The comment is, as a fan of Billy and the Pumpkins, it's actually Jim and them who brought me here today. I can prove it if you want. I believe you. That's a shame because I really was.
No, Jim, it's too unbelievable.
I really was a fan of Billy Corgan solo as well as with the Smashing Pumpkins, but oh well, you deserve recognition. I like that act has made him not a fan of Billy Corgan anymore, where he's like, fuck you, Jim and them rules, Wolfpack, baby. But we're going to get to that. We're going to get to the interview. I trimmed it down a little bit. It's an hour and 25 minutes.
Jesus, or please 15. Tell me you trimmed it down a lot of it.
Actually, I think hour 15 minutes. I'm sorry. I trimmed.
Obama.
Slowly converting my family to the Wolfpack. God bless Jim and them.
Hell yeah. Get your friends and family involved.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Blood Clot.
You got to explain to them who Corey Feldman is.
Obama.
If you see the Billy podcast, it seems like Billy was low-key shitting all over the Feldmeister. I mean, he exposed Corey's lack of self-awareness almost without effort.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you for the super chat. Although I disagree. I don't think he was low-key shitty. I mean, I think there were maybe a few times where he was kind of like taken aback by some of his answers. But I think he genuinely thinks that Corey's like an interesting guy. But it's because he doesn't know anything about him. He's not well-versed in choreography. Like,
you've seen that
here.
Happen a million times.
Yes.
So many people have made that classic mistake.
Well, in 2 weeks when Corey Feldman turns on Billy and he's in our chat, like, that guy was a fucking asshole. Or he's like,
that guy was a fucking asshole.
I did want to read one other email we got. Someone's asking the email in the chat. It's jimandthem@gmail.com. From Daniel, I guess I won't use last name. What am I doxing him? Yeah. From Daniel, I just want to say thank you. Since all the Corey stuff on your show,
I think it's Day Lewis.
It has mended a broken friendship between myself and an old friend whom we lost touch with through the year. But through your Corey show, we became buddies again, sharing belly laughs at Corey. Tell him Dan and Dimitri say hello from Dan and Dimitri.
That's what we do. We bring people together in one unified wall of hate.
Exactly. We can band together for a common enemy.
Yeah.
And a deserving enemy at that. So
right.
You can't really mess with success.
Or the Wolfpack, for that matter.
Absolutely. But yeah, shout outs to the motherfucking real ones. I love seeing everyone out there. I see your comments, especially when they're on other videos. What, shit, there was another one. Actually, even on the Trump Obama, and when I looked at most recent, there were a couple Jim and them shout out comments on that video on YouTube.
That's like our second most asked question. Like, I can't stop saying Obama. What is it?
Yeah, what is that?
It's just his classic Trump when he was good. He fell off.
Yeah, he fell off. He's not funny anymore.
He doesn't get a chance to talk ever.
But, of course, patreon.com/Jim and Them. We got all kinds of extra bonus stuff. If you want to hang with the boys, you can check out our Patreon. But I do want to check in before we get to the interview. Hold on. We got another super chat coming in from Rick, which I love to see.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just got to wait for it.
Yeah, I love this part. This is
Don't
my
you love
part.
This part? It's either that or we just keep talking, then we have to stop and repeat ourselves.
From the chat, every time I look at Jeff, I just see retarded cartoon Jeff. That's bullying if I've ever heard of it.
We did find the Shutterstock fat smiling guy.
Yeah, wasn't
character.
It like fat dumb nerd? Was it was the name of it.
Perhaps Billy wants to book him in his 1950s midget wrestling revival.
Yeah, the Shutterstock was like fat, ugly kid.
No, no, it was just fat, smiling guy. Okay. It wasn't that insulting.
Abumna is life, brother. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, indeed. But I do want to check back in real quick. We won't spend as much time on it because we spent a lot of time on it the past few weeks. But I did want to check in on the petition real fast. Let me see. I think we got another one coming in.
Important things have been happening with that petition.
Yeah.
Yeah, the petition's still rocking. Yeah, between just people posting on it, but also we do have an update as far as the friendship arc is concerned.
Wolf pack for life. Corey blows stray dogs.
Thank you, Clean Socks. What we also love seeing is that everyone's shouting out the Jim and Them is pop culture. Because as Mike said last week, that's been like a slogan on the show for a long time. But we love to see the resurgence thanks to our good friend Zen, a.k.a. the rapper known as Horace Eisen.
You know that, bitch.
But I don't think we watched this video last week that's on the petition.
I don't remember this.
Corey, what are you going to do with Jim and them? Are you going to make them your new angels?
Okay, good.
I like
it. Dope. Hell yeah.
It's like the wrong way laying down.
I think he's going for the like Jim and them. Like I think I like what people are going for of like filming weird or too close.
Yeah.
And just like nonchalantly directly speaking to Corey.
Corey, Jim and them.
We had a couple comments. Thanks, Jen Miller, for being a wonderful sleeper for the Wolfpack. Your mission is over. It's time to come home. That's from Jim. Because as we know, last week, Corey Feldman did state that this petition was apparently started by us, which it was not. Corey Haim says, Feldman has always been jealous of me. Wolfpack, take him down. Zen Feldman says, Jim and them are pop culture. You know that. Then we have Feldman Exposed posted some of the allegations against Feldman. You could read those at your own leisure. There's a picture here. I don't know how true this is, but apparently it's a screenshot of Corey on Twitter from 2016 tweeting at a girl saying, see, now you know I wasn't lying. You're a beautiful girl. How old? 17?
That's weird. Why would he say 17?
I want to believe that's like a quote from something. It can't just be him hitting on a 17-year-old on Twitter, right?
And then she just says 16, but you were close. Smiley face. I mean, I'd like to believe again because we're so fair. I like to believe there was some other context to this, but it is pretty damning evidence.
I like that he didn't even say 18.
Yeah, yeah. Like, how old? 17.
Are you old enough to fuck 17?
Is this another video? Yeah.
It's the Wolf Pack. Jim and them is pop culture.
I like that. That's not a wall. It's a piece of paper, but he's pretending it's a wall.
He's back. It's the guy from.
I love that everyone. Yeah, people are going with this tone. I dig it. One more time.
Hey, Corey. It's the Wolf Pack.
Booty ho.
Jim and them is pop culture.
Something like auto-tune kicks in somehow.
I don't know,
I'm a big fan of the smile when you're done because you're just having a great time.
That's how you. Anyone else would know it's a goof except Corey. He's like, they're on me.
That was from Brandon, and this one here is from Goblin Ghoul.
Hey, I signed this petition because I'm a supporter of Corey Feldman. Just like him, I'm 5'2". And I also play in a band. We're called the Goblin Ghouls. Look us up, man.
That's good.
I think that everyone's kind of bad at taking videos.
No, but I think that's kind of
the
bit.
Thing. I think that's what they're going for.
Obama.
These videos sure are haunted.
Haunted. Yeah. Wrong one. For good measure. This does remind me that there's some voicemails from a couple weeks ago that I haven't played. So let me see. I'll play them real quick.
Hey, Jim and them, it's Corey.
Hey, it's Daniel from the Wolf Pack. I was seeing if you needed any extra applications. I need a job. Your friend, Cuckoo Buns, Cocoa Buns. Oh, God.
Okay. He messes it up. And then there was another one. It might be the same guy. Buns.
I bet he's really glad that you're playing this.
Hey.
That same guy.
Hey, Cocoa Buns calling. Call me back. Bro.
There you go. There you go. A couple of voicemails.
What time did he call you, Jim?
So that's a good question. I don't know when that was. Probably like.
Oh, I assumed it said a time.
Probably dead time. Well, I had to download them because they were going to expire because they're from a couple of weeks ago. Probably like just after 3 a.m., no doubt. But let me see. Oh, yes. Yeah, so on the petition as well.
Obama.
That's just at Corey doing hooking up in real life.
I just want to take girls. A piss.
Thank you, Ju Kane.
Young girls. Yeah, we got it.
Mike, come on, Mike.
The
Mike
thing
doesn't
is,
do it.
No one remembers that.
No one remembers
that. We don't
it,
have to
yeah.
do it.
Thank you, Boo West, for subscribing on the Twitch. I'm working on it. I was doing a test stream earlier, and of course it still wasn't working. But I'm working on getting the Twitch back. Hell yeah, indeed. Now, the Jen Miller, who started the petition, she was not a member of the Wolfpack. She started it for Corey, and then Corey blamed the Wolfpack and said the Wolfpack apparently started it.
Because of Scarecrow.
Yeah, exactly. And she ended up seeing that and was like, actually, do I have the tweet? 1 second.
He really turned on her. He turned on her in like a big way. And like she was in his replies being like, hey, I'm just like a fan. I don't know. I can't do anything about it.
Cowards.
He's like, fuck you.
And I think she must have been blocked because I think one of our listeners had to tell her that he's saying that, you know, you're in the Wolf Pack or the Wolf Pack started the petition. And that's the other thing. People are really good at like pretending they're not in the Wolf Pack. Like, such great undercover work because it would just be messages like, oh my God, was this started by the Wolfpack? But it's just a name I recognize, so I know.
Well, and like, I like that, like, 4 days before she's like, because she's like, I'm so happy Zin is back and safe, right before she finds out that she's
yes,
blocked.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I'm so happy. Yeah, on the 18th, I'm so happy Zen's back and safe. I'll continue to fight to keep the trolls away from y'all as he recovers and gets his life back to normal. Hugs. And then 4 days later on the 22nd, I feel like, at Corey Feldman, I feel like a fool. I made the petition to help you out with the situation, and then, quote, they seem to take it over. And then you tell everyone that, quote, they created it and not a true fan? Wow.
He did what he always does. Yep. He takes someone that has every reason to like him, and he refuses to allow that to happen, and he takes them down.
Yeah, he's just pushing people away. He's sad. He needs... help.
Yeah, and I believe this is one of us that because this is how she found out. Someone DM'd her and was like, you're not Wolfpack, right? Corey said that they started the petition, but I'm pretty sure you started it, and I'm almost positive you're not one of them. Just checking. I mean, I can see they took it over, but I'm pretty sure that wasn't your fault. Like, we're really good at kind of good cop, bad cop. And then she posted this week, like, after she's pretty upset about that, but then she's doing a fundraiser for mental health, doing a 5K, and your boys over here hit her goal. Her goal is $250. Let me see. I think it started with...
I am Jim and them.
Hell yeah. Thank you, David D-Dub. It really is all us.
It's only us. It is exclusively us.
None of her friends.
Well, they all heard from Corey that she's Wolfpack, so they turned their back on her.
That's true, yeah. So Eric... donated $50. I'm a Jim and M fan. We support mental health awareness, and we don't like Corey. Bless. And then I donated $50. I said, next time, don't try to get our show removed.
Sent Eric a gift for you guys that should be there by the 4th of April. It has to do with a Jim and Them Lost Boys remix.
Oh, hell yeah. Thank you, Chat Martin, PhD. And I said, yeah, next time... next time, don't try to get our show removed from the air without doing a little bit of research. Good luck with your run. Jim and Them is the fairest podcast in the world. Coco Buns 2025, Jim and Them Filth Pigs. Mm. And then Eric matched up to 20, as he said he was going to do. So Eric came in. Then your boy Mike Steele came in. Mike Steele, when they got to thank you. Mike from Jim and Them.
What up?
Sorry.
She's the one that made me change my shirt. That's Jennifer Miller out there.
Sorry, Corey. Blamed you for the petition going wrong. I hope your run goes well. We're all cheering for you. Max Murder came through. Roxy Self came through. Then we had Anonymous. Best wishes from the Jim and Them family. And then Eric put it over the top. So after that, I tweeted the screenshot. She said, thank you so much for donating. I want to apologize for jumping on the crazy train and putting that petition up.
Let's go.
And I said, not a problem. Appreciate you raising money and awareness for a great cause. And then she followed Jim and Them on Twitter.
Hell yeah.
And she tweeted today.
Obama.
Some dark money calls. Everyone is getting sued.
Yeah, Sean Noble. This is dark money. We're even funneling for the mental health awareness. She tweeted today, thank you guys so much. It's a virtual run. Got my shirt and my medal. Way to go,
shit.
Jen Miller.
I didn't see that. I did see her talking about watching Monday Night Raw, so she's a real one.
Ooh. Newest member of the Wolf Pack. The friendship arc continues.
Woo!
So there you go. Now, let me see. I just want to see if there's one other thing before we got to get into this Billy Corgan. Now, this Billy Corgan interview... it was clearly done a while ago. It was done before Lo Servil. It was basically just as, what's it called? The Joke. The Joke music video, I think, had just come out, or the song had just been released. Let me find it here. Now, it is weird.
Crazy to think about that. The halcyon days of the Lo Servil.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what's Billy Corgan? I don't know Billy Corgan's... thing with what's his thing with wrestling? Does he run like a wrestling organization?
NWA now. He's like,
is it NWA? Yeah.
Well, and he didn't he do stuff at TNA for a while too?
I think so, yeah. Mm. But yeah, he owns NWA.
Friendship arc going crazy in 2020 epic.
Hell yeah, Obama. Max. Obama.
Corgan wishes he was Freddie Prinze Jr.
Wait, who does?
Billy Corgan.
Oh,
Freddie Prinze Jr. was a writer for WWE for like a really long time.
All right, so yeah, the magnificent. Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Appreciate that. Way to fill in
that
the silence.
It wasn't your fault. It was Mike's fault.
Hello, filth pigs. I'm having a wolf pack cocktail, double wormwood on the rocks. Join me.
Actually, thank
Stay
you, Lynn.
Tough but fair.
Thank you, Lynn. I was actually having this discussion on the Piscord. Do we do the wormwood challenge? Do we get a bottle of wormwood and chug it?
Yeah.
To see if it'll do anything?
Yeah.
Why would we do that?
What do you mean, no, Mike? Yeah. If we were a Legion of Skanks, we would do it.
That yeah, that's true.
Yeah. That changed my mind.
Yeah.
Enjoyed the sofa reference an episode or so ago.
Legion of Skanks have shoved like three different guns up their ass, and you won't drink a bottle of wormwood? What are you, gay?
WWF Federations with a Z. Thank you, man. You know what? The other thing is, since you brought it up real quick, because he said enjoyed the sofa reference. That's from Back to the Sofa. Mm. I'm trying to give a goddamn friendship arc. I'm trying to throw olive branches at Back to the Sofa. These guys continue to talk shit about us. So I don't know what the fuck their problem is.
Oh, what did they say?
Now, to be fair, them talking shit is them like acting like they're above it all.
Can't believe Feldman rode Corgan around the room like a demented jockey. He's dead to me now.
Thank you, Neil Barry. I love
we need to ignore them. Ignore them like the bugs that they are. I don't know who they are. I didn't listen to anything they said. I've only heard you mention them on the show. That's all they did. They don't even deserve that much.
Well, to be fair, what I'm saying is probably harsher than what they mean, but they won't say our name and they act like we're super negative and like I don't know. They act like they're above what we're doing. That's my only problem. Like, if you really don't want anything to do about with us, then just don't bring us up. You know what I mean? Or don't allude to us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I love being alluded to.
Or suck a dick. But you suck a fucking dick. Your show sucks. It's in a different Adventure Time shirt every time. Like, my girlfriend tried to watch one of their things. She's like, this is the worst thing I've ever watched.
I'm sure. I mean, whatever. They do. I'm not even commented on their thing. I'm sure their thing's fine. But I'm just saying, I don't get this thing of, like, acting like what we do is terrible. And what they do is cool.
Meant to send Supercot's last stream, so here's my severance.
Oh, Jesus. Jameson and Jack, $50. Hey, holy shit, man.
Do I have to change my shirt twice?
Yeah, did you want Mike to change his shirt?
Yeah, what do you want me to wear?
Why don't they act like they're above us? Oh, yeah, $20, yeah. Change your shirt.
Here we go, change the shirt coming up.
How about Chuck Wormwood?
Watch the chat for Jameson and Jack. Tell us what you want me to wear, Jameson and Jack.
But I mean, I swear, I know I'm coming out. I'm coming hard. I'm not really trying to start a war with these guys.
Dude, I'm coming hard,
I'm trying to extend an olive branch. I'm always down for a friendship arc. There's never a time I'm not down for a friendship arc.
Stab them in the back.
Yeah, then we set them up, get them nice and comfortable.
Yeah.
Set them up with allegations. They show up. There's just the teen girls there. They're like, where's Jim and them? And they're like, oh, what are you doing here? They're like, here to meet you. It's like, yeah, what are you doing here? It's like, are these all your teen girlfriends? We're like, no. We run.
Dr. Pepper guy's there.
But anyways, back to Billy Corgan. So Billy Corgan, yeah, I know he's into wrestling. People were asking on our Discord, like, you know, what's the deal with him doing a podcast? I do feel like it is just kind of the in thing to do. That's what if you have, like, any type of fan base, just do a podcast, right?
Yeah.
I know this is it's been going on like 2 months, roughly, maybe a little less, maybe a little bit more. From what I've seen, it doesn't seem like a terrible show. It seems a little like I'm trying to think of something that's not going to sound as negative as I mean, because Billy Corgan, like, I do think he's genuinely interested in discussing stuff with his guests, but He's like trails a little bit too much, like kind of repeats things, or he like over explains a question before he asks the question. Now, to be fair, maybe he only does that to Corey Feldman. I've only watched the Corey Feldman
talk to him like a baby
interview. Well, there's a few times where Corey Feldman just keeps like talking over him.
What?
Like it's like Billy Corgan's trying to like tag onto his answer or ask like a additional question, and he'll be like, Feldman will just kind of interject over it a bit. But yeah, this is the halcyon days of pre-Low Serville. The joke had just come out. So yeah, let's take a peek.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Nice to see you again.
Don't do that.
Thank you. Good to see you again. Although we've only met once.
I was just going to say, I'm excited to watch the interview.
Hold on. You honestly, you have to pay attention right at the beginning.
Oh, God.
Because it starts off guns blazing, so I'm going to take it back.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Nice to see you again.
Thank you. Good to see you again. Although we've only met once.
Not true.
Okay, give me the second time.
No, we've met probably 10 or 12 times.
What?
No way. Absolutely. I swear to God.
I guess I was too sober.
Oh, that's not even close. That's not even like.
Yeah, it wasn't like, what other time we met?
Yeah, no, exactly.
I met you like 15 times. You said you were my best friend.
No, but honestly, the way that happens, it feels staged because.
Obama.
Inavu yubal jududja. Temi degu agapuja. Nobody tries to give them a kararance. What's up with the youth? Tell me what's up with the youth.
I think he's trying to do Corey's accent.
Thank
Someone
you,
B5. Someone
just cast a spell. In a wujabuja, duja. Nobody tries to give him a chance.
It did sound like a Book of the Dead spell, or it sounds like when you're in middle school and the girls think they're fun because they're speaking gibberish to each other, and you're like, shut up, you
girls
broads.
Are fun.
That's so good that he's like...
They think they're fun.
That's our thing. Cocoa buns.
I love that Corey said one time, and Billy Corgan's like, consider this dismaying observation 15 times.
But that's why it almost feels staged to me. It's like when you go on when they go on Fallon or one of those shows, and you know everything's already like pre-planned. It's almost like, we'll do this bit. Because why does he immediately come out the gate like, second time we met? And he's like, no, not really. 12th well, time maybe?
I also fully believe that he just did that. He's like, no, we hung out all the time.
And he's not good enough friends with Corey to placate him, so he doesn't know that he has to do it yet.
That's impossible.
Swear to God.
Okay, well,
hand on heart.
I can tell you the first time, which was with Manson, which, you know, I choose to try to forget. The second time.
Well, remember he has a feud with Marilyn Manson. I don't really. That. We talked about it. I don't remember a lot of the specifics around it. It was something to do with, I think, Marilyn Manson. He mentions it here. He mentioned him in his book. I'm sure he just talks shit about him.
Yeah.
Wait, why is Corey naming a second time if he already said one?
Why would you bank an episode for so long, Cocoa Buns?
Thank you, Steffo.
That's what these pods do.
They didn't. Yeah, he didn't launch the podcast officially until, again, like February. So he probably recorded like 10 shows or some bullshit like that. Because these aren't real ones. They're not in it for the love of the game, like your boys here, the heads of the Wolfpack, Jim and them.
Well, here's our first fan that knows that we do a live podcast.
Yeah, yo, you're right. Yeah. No one. Well, everyone thinks we do like a daily podcast, or they think every one
or
of our
YouTube show.
Yeah, our videos is live.
But there's 826 of you right here that know the truth.
Yeah, you're the real ones. You know, people are learning though. You can't hate on them. Corey Feldman says Marilyn Manson sabotaged his 2017 tour by planting backup singers who intentionally sang off key and played the wrong parts.
Oh, yeah.
I remember this.
I was going to ask, like, why would he do that? But
well, it's so funny because Googling it, it's almost like Googling Jim and them, because one of the Reddit questions is, why is Marilyn Manson obsessed with Corey Feldman? That's basically what they say about us.
Marilyn Manson for fourth, Mike.
Corey Feldman's been trying to regain his fame for 30 years. Yeah, we know that.
What a great way to describe
Drew
it.
Drew Lane in the house.
Thank you, E-Rock. Yeah, shout out Drew Lane. Thanks for hanging out, man. I just wanted to, because I should have double checked this earlier. I just wanted the cliff notes of what their beef was. But maybe he's just like us and he just doesn't like him.
Well, yeah, he was probably just coked out being a weirdo in Hollywood around him. And I'm like, he's like, I'm the coked out weirdo.
Yeah, yeah. This is my game, see?
You're raping all the women before me, allegedly.
I'm going to remove my ribs to suck my dick. And Manson's like, no, that's going to be my wives' tale. That's
my
thing. Urban legend.
Would have been, I think, also with Manson at a little dingy, I think that the Sunset Marquee.
Well, you probably don't remember. At different times, we would come across each other just in the...
Okay, in passing.
Okay. How about we get some new fucking likes?
Moo fucking
227-850.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, Drew Kane. Yeah, hit that like. I mean, we can watch the video before we start worrying about the likes, though.
We always would talk for a minute to five minutes, but we always had these nice exchanges, and I always walked away impressed with you as a person outside of what people think or... You know, because when you're a child star and people have their opinions and stuff like that,
right.
my interactions with you have always been great. Mm-hmm. Always found you very nice, found you funny, charming, all those things. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I would say the same.
Thank you. So
that what a great save, by the way, not remembering that he's ever seen him more than one other time.
My interactions
I would say
with
I
you
feel the
said...
same way, that one time that I knew that we even met.
Yeah.
Well, and also, I mean, on one hand, I side with Feldman, if we're being fair. Because Corey's looking at him like, oh, you're talking about mini interactions we've had where I probably just said, oh, hey, nice to meet you. And you're counting that as all these times we've met. What are you, a fucking fan? And then
Corgan hit him with a 2 to 5 minute long conversation. He name dropped the length of the conversation. I got to side with Corgan in that world.
No, I do side with Corgan, but I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I'm just, the look on Corey's face is like, you're a fucking fan, bro. Like, you think I'm going to remember you, dude?
Well,
Are you serious?
And knowing fucking Corey, he hates Billy Corgan because his name's too similar to Corey.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That's the only reason.
Who's this other Corgan?
Corgan.
Those letters
like
out of your mouth.
He hates corgis, too.
And then I guess maybe the other side of it, too, could be if it was in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s, when, I mean, obviously, like, when Smashing Pumpkins were, like, peaking or heading towards their peak, Corey was like he was down and out, but not as, you know, in the fucking dumps as he is these days. Mm-hmm. He still had a little bit of shine on him.
Yeah.
So I could see him being like, oh, that's that kid from that fucking dumb band. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm only waist deep in hell. I haven't fully descended.
That's that loser from the Extreme Gong Show.
That's the guy that wouldn't put the chicken down.
Those personal
he mixes them up with the host.
Actions with you, whether they were 2 or 12, it doesn't matter. My my vibe on you has always been very positive.
Right.
So when I've seen you go through different variations of public whatever, and I've had my own versions too, so I'm maybe more sympathetic or empathetic than most people are to know what that feels like when people are kind of coming at you from different angles.
Mm-hmm. What's Corbin's version?
That's not the guy.
Besides everyone being like, your music fucking sucks.
Well, don't people just goof on him?
For being like an egomaniac?
I guess, I mean, I'm only thinking more recent. I remember because, I mean, I don't really watch, I used to watch wrestling a lot, but I still vaguely hear about wrestling, and I would hear in passing him getting involved, people would like say that in a derogatory way, like that he's like
Obama.
Manson's most harmed victim, Corey Feldman.
Thank you, Mark McGovern. Where I don't know if they think he's like a loser or like not a real one or something, or what it was, or he just wants more attention. I don't know. I don't know enough about why people would hate Billy Corgan. I know why they'd hate Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where
I appreciate that
we're sitting here today, because I wouldn't mind introducing that person that I think I know a little bit.
Right.
Because I think that's the guy behind the other thing. So that's what I want to talk about.
Uh-oh, Mike.
Sleeves, please. Tee-hee-hee. Love the show. Thank you.
The chat's saying sleeves for $20.
Yeah, $20. You got sleeves, Mike? Thank you, Keith McNichols.
I have a sweatshirt with sleeves. That counts, right?
That counts. He just said sleeves. I love that we have to...
We'll wait.
You know what? The Sofa Guys were right.
What, that we're awesome? What do you mean? That we can, that we're paid, though? Let me just vape real quick.
Yeah, don't worry, guys. It's a quick vape shirt change. Yeah. We really are Corey Feldman.
But we will pause the video when we do it.
Yeah, that's true. Woo! Whoa, 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 whoa. No one ever play a video if I'm not on camera.
Yeah, true.
There we go.
Show can start
there
again. I'm back.
Okay, hell yeah.
And I've got sleeves.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, I appreciate good. That. I appreciate that. And I will, since we're opening
Obama.
That.
Mike, here's $5. Change into your mesh tank top and Speedo.
That's not the rules.
Sorry, clean socks. Though you know the rules.
$20
for
a mesh tank
top.
That's
jump change. Yeah.
Can of words. And
let's open them all, yeah.
I will put that back on you and say, my interactions with you have been positive as well. I never thought anything negative, other than you're, you know, obviously a very intelligent man, obviously an artist, very creative.
That's
but,
negative.
You know, this Manson thing is kind of hung over your shoulder, unfortunately. And that's because it was...
What's the old saying? I am not my brother's keeper.
Yeah, okay. Well, my...
Corey
well
doesn't know why.
Let's not bring up
that.
Allegations right now, Corey.
I was going to say, yeah, is that part of it, though, too? Isn't Marilyn Manson have, like... rape or sexual misconduct?
Yeah. He had sex with a girl in a music video that didn't want to have sex.
Oh, it was the actress. Yeah. Evan Rachel Wood. That's right. I forgot about that.
But don't worry. He dated her and tortured her for years.
Was it
that.
A thing where Corey was like trying to out that? Did that have anything to do
no,
with his
No, I'm
thing
sure
with Corey?
In his book there's one sentence where he's like, Corey Feldman's a coked out loser. And he's like, what?
Well, Corey was jealous. He's like, one weird girl, I'm going to have six of them, and they're going to wear costumes, and they can't eat meat.
Cool,
but somewhere in the recesses of my memory are me, you, Marilyn Manson, and Vern Troyer.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, somewhere.
I don't have that one. Yeah. I don't have that one.
Dream blunt rotation.
I might have made that one up.
Oh, okay.
No. Okay, thank you, Sarah. I don't know if you're saying no to the Marilyn Manson thing or something else, but I do love the obvious thing here of... Corey doesn't remember it because he's not sober. I mean, we can't belabor that point. Like every time we talk about him, we have to be like, this guy is not sober.
Yeah.
Or he's California. Someone else did use California sober to describe Corey as
no,
well.
He is not. Dude. Is California sober doing mountains of cocaine all the time?
Could
it's
be.
It's getting close. I talked to a girl who said she was Cali sober, and all she did was she'd drink an occasional beer, smoke weed, and take pills. And she said she was Cali sober.
I think that's Fresno
like,
sober.
Like, what does that even mean?
It's Fresno sober.
I was going to say, because I don't know enough parts of California, because I was going to do one of those too, but I'm like, I don't know. Reseda?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, Vallejo?
I just know
Bakersfield sober.
And all I know Reseda from is Karate Kid.
I think Reseda's kind of nice, actually.
That's possible.
Well, maybe Playboy Mansion would be the
that's
only place
I'm trying to say.
Been.
That's
yeah,
what I'm
that's,
saying.
Let's both not talk. Okay. about that?
But that said, it was, no, it's the fact that it was epitomized in, you know, perpetuity by being a part of his book. Obama.
Gur Wolf Pack dot Jim and them. Filth pigs. Oink.
Oink, oink, baby.
Thank you, unfucking believable.
Whoa, Jim, watch your mouth.
I'm sorry.
You're forgiven.
Oh, I see.
And kind of, you know, iconizing, I guess you would say, that moment in time, crystallizing in time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anyway. By saying that what me and...
snorting sea monkeys or something.
I didn't get that part.
Yeah.
No, it was that me and
Obama.
Mike in sleeves. Sad.
No, it's a celebration.
It yeah.
It's a bummer.
Herman Hemsley meeting, because he introduced us, over your bald head was, I believe, the words that he used
okay,
in his
I don't
book,
remember.
So poetic.
I don't care. I don't remember. Anyways.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways,
he's
can we move on?
To say anyways three times.
Yeah, so can we get to the interview, please?
I don't know why you're obsessed with this.
I got another one coming. You know,
Obama!
Corey only wears discount Spencer's Gifts clothes.
Thank you, DW.
Good stuff.
Was this at the Howard Stern
yes,
movie premiere?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that's the official time that I feel like we actually spoke. And
Flavor Flav.
Get ready, Mike. Get your sleeveless. It's coming in.
Oh,
you might
really?
As well start getting it now. This is like champagne problems, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a little annoying.
Return to sleeveless metal shirt.
But it's like, I can't complain.
I demand,
you know what I mean?
IT.
Thank you, Wolven Joker Locuson. But yeah, $25 for Mike to go sleeveless. Champagne problems and caviar dreams, Jeff Murphy.
It's true.
Oh,
this is the Mike,
shit.
Now, this is just Mike changing his shirt music.
Oh, all right. Hell yeah.
Mike's changing his shirt. Mike's changing his shirt. Mike's going sleeveless. Mike's going sleeveless and sleeveless.
You could make him change his shorts,
you,
too.
You, me, Marilyn Manson, Sherman Hemsley.
Yeah.
Like, somehow we were all together.
Vern Troyer, I don't know.
But somehow we're all in the same
yes.
room.
Well, yeah, but this happens.
See, now Corey brings up Vern Troyer, but he just said he didn't even remember being with Vern Troyer. So he's just piggybacking on what Billy Corgan said.
Hmm.
But also, now, was it the Surreal Life? Was that with Vern Troyer and
yep.
Corey Feldman?
Yep.
What's so weird is I remember watching that show. I don't remember Corey Feldman being on it.
No, me neither. I remember Vern Troyer getting really drunk.
Is that
I
what
remember
he pissed,
Flavor Flav.
Didn't he piss in the corner or whatever?
He was just, yeah, he's just like laying there going, and yeah, like pissed on himself.
Yeah, and that was like the Flavor Flavissance, right? That was like the start of it.
Yeah, that's with Brigitte Nielsen. He met Brigitte Nielsen there. They had their own show, then Flavor of Love.
And... It's so funny because I don't have a recollection of Corey Feldman being on that show. It's how memorable it was.
Yeah.
A lot. That's Hollywood.
Well,
right?
You grew up in that. See, I didn't grow up in that.
Right.
So to
so
me,
for you, you were probably still a bit in Sean.
Yeah. Now,
Sean
I'm, now I wouldn't even.
Now you don't flinch.
Yeah. Right. But I'm saying you grew up in that, so that's a different thing. When you're like nerdy Chicago suburbs, you're like, oh my God, it's the guy from.
Right.
Doesn't matter if they're like in the worst TV show ever. It's like, it's
right,
the guy
right,
from.
Right, right, right. I mean, I remember the first time I saw Ringo in the same hotel as me, and I was like, oh my God, I'm in the same hotel
right.
as Ringo.
So I get the you're the rat in the cage guy. What do you get?
You know,
allegations.
He knows.
They call you by like it's a character name.
No,
or?
No, it's changed so much through the years. I mean, through the years, you know, it started when I was a little kid. You got to realize I was being recognized before people knew who the hell I was. So I was.
Now to harken back, this is bizarre where he won't answer this question. We watched
Obama.
A...
Does anyone know why Corey has been claiming sobriety for so long? Is there even a reason for these claims?
I think, yeah, Chat Martin, I think it's obvious. I think it's just a classic, like,
Obama.
Angle, basically.
Thanks, Mike. Looking metal, my pig.
Thank you, Chat Martin.
My pig.
My pig. Thank you, Wolven. No,
it's
I,
because he knows. It's because he knows the answer. The second that he was asked that question, he knew what he wanted to say, but he doesn't want to say those things because they're embarrassing and he wants to seem cool. So he's like, oh, you know, it's been
well,
a bunch of stuff.
It's but going back to the question real quick, why he talks about being sober, it's the same reason. I don't know if you know people just like in your circle, whether it be people you went to school with or family members that are kind of on something or on drugs, they love to tell you that they're sober now.
Yeah,
you know,
they write
I mean?
Like 45 yeah. paragraphs on Facebook about how thankful they are to be sober.
And
like,
it's this guy's yeah, out. It's like an attention ego thing. And then I don't know, maybe you're trying to like speak it into existence, but it's also just a thing to be able to tell people.
Well, you feel like a fucking loser because you are, so you don't want to tell yes. anyone that you're a loser.
But then,
yeah.
But then, yeah, also going back to his answer here, yeah, we watched a different podcast. It was a similar thing. It was like maybe a little different, like what quotes do you hear a lot or something like that? And he always refuses to answer. It's always like, it's so much. There's so many things. And it's like, dude.
Renaissance man.
Well, because also, I mean, and nowadays.
He knows it's Goonies thing. It's a Goonies thing, and he hates that that's the only yeah. thing anyone knows him yeah. from, too.
And
you know that that's probably what it is.
But nowadays, it's probably even morphed into more of a goofy-ass mistake
Today show.
Yeah, a goofy ass like embarrassing thing that people like yeah, they yell out go for it or fucking one of those things or whatever it was on the Today Show.
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg, watch Feldman twerk.
Hell, oh, are you that kid?
I knew who you were.
That's, no, before
but
that.
But I'm saying I have the same experience.
What do you mean?
What I'm saying is I knew who you were without even knowing who you were because you were on TV.
Right. But you didn't know my name is my point. Like, so,
no,
so
that's
in, right. In the beginning, I was just on everything, right? So people just go, oh, you're that kid.
Ubiquitous is the
word. Oh, yeah, okay, there you go. You've been around.
Corey
you've
is
here
so
here.
Annoyed right now.
It's we've talked about this many times. It's the aura that he brings to every conversation that he has where it's combative and kind of... like,
Obama.
He's annoyed with the person.
Hollywood is a scam. Corey deserved an Oscar for being sober.
It's his longest running role, she naps, and you can't deny that he's stuck to it.
I was going
to
argue that he's very bad at the role.
It's more so.
He's the Gal Gadot of being sober.
The way that
it's
he's...
what you said.
Go ahead. What?
I was saying, it's what you said, Jim, is that yeah. he's combative and defensive. All the time.
Yes.
Like, it's not like everyone gets defensive here and there and everybody can be combative, but he is like always in that state 100% of the time. And you see it like this conversation, like he's just being fed the things he's trying to think of and he's being told the words he's trying to think of, but he's like, blah, 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 and he just wants to move on.
Cause yeah, it becomes not a conversation for him. It becomes like, no, just listen to me speak. You said something. Now I'm going to talk until I'm done.
You don't get it. You don't understand.
But that said, that quickly shifted into, aren't you the kid from The Shining? Which I got a lot, by the way, from I think 7 years old until 10 or 11, right around the time Friday the 13th came out, that's when I finally started to solidify, like, oh, he's that guy. But before that, everybody thought I was Danny Lloyd, and it got so bad that it actually got to the point where I started signing autographs as Danny Lloyd, because I was like, fine, whatever, I'll just say I'm Danny Lloyd, here you go. But that's because they didn't know who the hell I was, and I didn't even know how to sign my own name, and wasn't really sure if my name was my name yet. So,
so all of that's a lie.
Yes. Yeah, there's this is the start of a recurring thing in this interview, because...
Obama!
I'm just watching and wondering what Billy would look like with Corey's shitty hair.
He would look kind of similar.
Thank you, Stunt Guitars.
A little healthier in the face, I guess.
That's a great way to watch it. I like to picture him with Corey's blonde spiky hair instead.
Ooh.
I like to picture Corey with a guy's hat on.
Ooh, I want Corgan with the Sunset Boulevard goatee.
Ooh.
I just want to see Corey wearing just like a Gap shirt or something like that. Just something kind of normal.
Yeah.
That's my fantasy.
Good luck. Obama!
I couldn't understand why Billy Corgan would be interviewing Phil Dawg. Then I remembered Corgan is a huge pro wrestling fan. His kayfabe is strong.
Thank you, Pat Maloney. I mean, I think it's just, I think everyone knows now Corey's Obama. Clicks.
I'm Jim and them sober. I only smoke hash, drink E&J, and rip lines on Friday nights.
What the fuck? That's Jim and them sober?
You might have just coined a new thing, Chat Martin.
Jim and them PhD. Sober is just chugging wormwood in Huff and Jenkum.
We got to revisit that. Are we going to do the wormwood challenge?
Obama.
All his stories are so specifically ridiculous and unproven.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Max. Or maybe we need
someone...
Well,
he broke down his own story. He's like, I did this thing. even though I couldn't really do this thing, and I didn't even know my name. Like, he just kept, like, devolving his own story until you're like, oh, I don't believe anything you just said. You were just kind of talking.
The first words I learned how to write were Daniel Loy.
Well, and also, it's almost like initially before when he wouldn't let Billy Corgan, like, interrupt him when he keep wanting to talk, then it was almost like he was, like, begging him to interrupt him. That's why he kept going with the story, like, I didn't even know it was my name. Whose name was it? I come on, help me out, Billy. Are you letting me? I'm dying over here.
He's like, no.
but this is a recurring thing in this interview because this is going to morph into how he actually was almost going to be in The Shining. And then the recurring thing we're going to hear about is all these parts that he was actually supposed to get in his storied career.
Right. But that said, I did actually sign autographs as Danny Lloyd because it happened so concurrently. And the other thing about that is I was up for that role. So it was very ironic that, you know.
Did you not get the role or just didn't work out?
It was down to the two of us.
What'd you say?
Okay.
Yeah.
When
so
was he born?
I mean, he said like around 10 or 11 was like Friday the 13th. So he's like 74, 73, something like that.
No, but Friday the 13th is like 1983.
That's what I'm saying, but like if he was like 6 or 7, and so if he was like 72, if he was born like 72, then yeah, I mean, it checks out.
It was supposed to be me originally. I had the offer, but then on second thought, they were like, he's just a little bit young, because I was like a year younger than him.
Were there any movies that you tried out for ended up being classics in the 80s that you didn't get?
Jim. No. I mean, pretty much. Yeah.
Jim, you scamp.
I did want to put that in there.
You little scamp.
Because, so yeah, I guess, and again, we're Jim and them fair. To be fair, The Shining came out in 1980. So would that be considered like a movie he was up for in the 70s? Is that his delineation on why he could say there wasn't a part he went up for and didn't get?
I don't think when she asked that question, he thought, well, let me make sure I'm just thinking of my exact 80s movies. Ooh, right on the line. Oh, I don't know if I should count it. Oh,
man. I mean, he really had a rough year, huh? Because that clip was from a year later from this one.
That clip.
Completely different person.
Yeah, you're right. Because this interview was recorded probably around like April. It was like a year ago this time.
Yeah.
And then this other interview I cut in was, yeah, basically around holiday season. But let me take that back. Also, this clip may come up again within this interview.
Yeah, so it was supposed to be me originally. I had the offer. But then on second thought, they were like, he's just a little bit young, because I was like a year younger than him.
Were there any movies that you tried out for that ended up being classics in the 80s that you didn't get?
No. <Come on. laughs> I mean, pretty much, yeah. Same haircut, same big wheel, same everything, but just wheel. A little
bit too small.
Did
you audition for Kubrick?
I must have. I would have to have, yeah.
You don't remember?
I don't know.
What a great lie!
Now, I mean, fair enough, he was like 7 or 6.
Yeah, it's believable that maybe he wouldn't remember, but
remembers
also
every other detail.
Corey's a fabricator.
No. That's horseshit.
Everybody knows
7
one.
Is not a baby.
What do you
you're
remember
not like
from 7,
two
Mike?
Years old when you're 7.
Well, he said he was 5. He said he was 5 at the time.
That doesn't matter. You remember if you auditioned for someone. Well, you wouldn't just be like, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. I just wound up there.
Yeah, I mean, he does remember all the other details except that part. I must have. I don't. I assume I did. Now,
I mean,
he,
that's what you say. When you're telling a great lie and someone asks you something, you know, well, I surely must have were this story to be true.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Just Some Medic. Thank you for the super chat, my guy. What's great, he is going to tell an awesome story about his voice as a child, which is right up Jim and Them's alley.
Okay, right. That's pretty young. Yeah.
Yeah. But the point is that I almost got it. It was supposed to be mine. I was a little bit too small, a little bit too young. So then 2 years later, this movie comes out, and it's like the biggest thing ever. And then within that year, that's when it started. Hey, aren't you the kid from The Shining? Aren't you the kid from The Shining? I mean, I heard it every day.
There was a rumor at one point that I was the kid from The Wonder Years.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
Now, doesn't he have that wrong? Yeah, wasn't that Marilyn Manson that was the kid from The Wonder Years?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was Marilyn Manson.
Although I did see someone on social media say people said he was the kid from Small Wonder. Maybe that's what he's messing up. Let me see.
Wonder Years is like the kid with the friend with the glasses, right?
Yes. Yeah, that was supposed to be Marilyn Manson. Which is very similar to the real life story of what happened.
Obama!
I remember him from being on the bottom of Charlie S. Great Show, as always.
Thank you, Madcap 182. I don't know what that means, though. From being on the bottom? Oh, Charlie Sheen. Duh. I'm stupid.
Filth Pig auditions. I auditioned for the swining.
Thank you. Unfucking believable. But no. Those rumors are very similar to the real life thing of like how the white kid on All That was Deadmau5.
They ended up that ended up being true, Jim.
Yes, that was the real one.
It was like, I think it was like Monkey Boy or something, and he was on All That. That's who Deadmau5 is. Like, you don't know because he's got the mask on.
Yeah.
But that's Deadmau5, is that kid from All That.
The rumor was Small Wonder. So Billy Corgan, he just messed it up. But there was a rumor that he was the kid from Small Wonder.
Which kid was it?
I don't know. Because I never watched the show.
Right.
Tell me some movies that you could have done, should have done, didn't do.
Okay, so I think the worst one.
Here we go.
If we're going to go right to the heart of the matter, and this is probably going to piss off some people, but, you know, hey, sometimes you got to do it. But
have you ever pissed off anyone?
A lot of people, a lot of times. honesty is never really a welcomed trait in most circles.
I find it admirable.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that he's like, yeah, I piss people off all the time. It's just because I tell the truth so much. What can I say?
I had a whole movement about truth.
He hears us being too fair, and he's like, I'm just too true. I'm just so true.
Well, I'm like that movie, Liar, Liar. I can't do it. It's not in me to not tell the truth.
I was almost the main character in that movie, but then they're like, we need you to be a liar. And he's like, I can't do it.
I can't even play a liar.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's ballsy. It's risky, but I have no choice.
Gone too far.
No, it's not even that. It's that, you know, honestly, Billy, when I decided to be sober, when I got clean back
immediately
in
tells a lie.
1990, kind of made the identification of this is who I am. This is a life choice. And even though I had a relapse in 93 that was short-lived, but I still kind of made that solemn oath to myself that if I'm going to be able to do this, the only way to be able to stay sober, to stay clean, to be okay inside is to literally create a constitution, which is that I am going to be continuously honest in all of my dealings. I have to be. I have no choice.
He's using big words now, way wrong. Over and over.
You know he's trying to impress Billy Corgan because he heard Billy Corgan use the word earlier.
Ambiguous.
Yeah, that's what it was. But also, I'm going to do something way out of character for Jim and them. I'm going to nitpick Corey Feldman for a minute. If you can allow me this grace, guys.
Okay.
Now, Jim,
play a sounder. This is too rare of a moment.
The Jim and them Corey nitpick.
Now, maybe it's possible we've missed this, but we noticed this in his recent Mario Lopez interview, where now he's been sober since 1990.
There's Corey whining again, huh? It's everybody else's fault. Nah, 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 nah. Nah.
Thank you, Just Some Medic. Welcome to the Corey Cowboys. Well, he's been saying he's been sober since 1990. Like, that's been his thing we've always heard. But then in the Mario Lopez interview, we did hear him mention that he had a relapse. Although in that interview, he said he had a relapse 5 years later. In this interview, he's saying he had a relapse 3 years later. Now, I could almost, on one hand, I'd be like, oh, maybe he's just mixing it up. But then again, if it's something like getting sober, it feels like that's the one thing where you're like, I've been sober for 1,200, like, you know, the days and hours almost.
Yeah, because you're constantly craving Coke.
Well, but Jim, that's your mistake right there. He's not sober. So he has no number to remember. So the further he gets away from his fake relapse time, the easier it is just to say, 3-ish years, 5-ish years, 6-ish years.
7 away from 1K.
Did we get botted? Did we get botted? We got over a K in here?
No way,
God
dude.
Damn it.
Wait, like,
that's
like
the truth
watching?
Movement.
Yes, yeah. Is it just the truth movement? Is it just the hype of the Billy Corgan podcast? Thank you for hanging out,
the
people.
Second Corey Feldman starts telling the truth, that's when we get our most viewers.
That's true. Once we unveiled the Corey Feldman nitpick, a brand new thing for the show, something we never do, people heard that. They're like, we got to tune in. But anyways, yeah, I feel like, again, not to point out the obvious, but to harp on this, but this is what you come here for. His time frames are completely off on this whole sober issue.
Really create a constitution, which is that I am going to be continuously honest in all of my deeds.
Is Billy J vetting him with false info to see if he agrees?
Brainwash filth pig. I don't think I don't know if you had the no, you didn't have the comment earlier. Obama.
We got over 1K watching.
Hell yeah, thank you, E-Rock. And Brainwash filth pig. People keep trying to like put some sort of angle to what Billy Corgan's doing.
It's just an interview.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think he dislikes Corey Feldman. I don't think he necessarily like thinks he's the best either. I think he's genuinely interested in the guy. I think on paper, he's an interesting guy. That's why we do a show about him every week. he just doesn't know. He doesn't. I mean, I'm sure he's not watching our videos, except maybe now he is, as he should, now that he's getting educated. But he just thinks he's an interesting guy. He's just asking him questions. I don't think he has a motive to either make him look good or make him look bad.
Side is to literally create a constitution.
All right,
which
listen
is
to this.
That I am going to be continuously honest in all of my dealings. I have to be. I have no choice but to be forthcoming. Because if I don't, then, you know, what is any of it worth? We're only as good as our word. And if all of a sudden you're one of those people that, you know, oh, well, I can go back to this interview and you said exactly the opposite, you won't find that with me.
Were there any movies that you tried out for that ended up being classics in the 80s that you didn't get?
No.
Why would he say that? You can make that point without saying those words.
It's so funny. And dude, that's honestly like him saying that there's no way. And I think he did this in another interview as well, where he's like, you know, that's why you can't go back in my history. Every time I'm asked a question, you're going to find the same answer. And that was literally
Obama.
Whore pee gay man and the poop movement.
Hell yeah, senpai. Thank you. That was important. It's funny that he would say that because that was like zero research. Like if I wanted to sit down and pull up all these different things, I probably could. But that just happened to be one I already had. And I was like, you know what? I'll drop this in here real quick. If you really wanted to break it down, I'm sure you could find a million of those.
Now, to be Jim and them fair, we often do watch stuff. And the first thing we say is, we know this story. We've heard this story.
Yes.
Because he is trying really, really hard to tell the same version.
Would Billy leave him to die in NYC during 9/11?
No way, of course not.
He is trying to tell the same version of things often to the point where we recognize them almost verbatim. But to say you can't find interviews where I'm contradicting myself, dude, you're inviting my boy Jim to just to lick his chops
to
and
nitpick.
Rub his hands Obama. Together.
This is for 1K.
Hell yeah, thank you, Madcap182. What was his name again, Mike? Didn't he have a first Super Chat name? Was he Tom DeLong?
Madcap? Oh, he's, he's Tom DeLong.
Thank you, Tom DeLong.
Saying about that is you're a person who's very skilled at artifice.
Right? I don't know. Explain that.
Well, isn't that the medal of being an actor?
I guess.
At a very young age, somebody identified you could act.
He put Billy on blast for saying nothing there. What did that mean? Why'd you say artifice?
I just hit every skew error on my bingo card. But to be fair, each one just said, liar.
Thank you, 5x5.
They do have a Corey bingo card in the Discord.
They do. But also, in Corey's defense, because I don't get why people think we hate this guy. We're defending him every chance we get. that True. Sounds like a negative statement, though. Because he just said how honest he is and how he just, that's all he could do. And then Billy's like, well, yeah, because you're a master of artifice. Like, that sounds like you're putting up a front. That's why he's like, what do you mean? I don't understand. You're saying I do drugs? You're saying that I did drugs right before I came here? Because I did.
You're saying I play Dungeons & Dragons? I'm a caster that uses homunculi?
That's an artificer, Jim.
I don't think they knew that. I think that it was the voice. You know, they heard my voice. At least this is the way it was told to me, was that I was in the, you know, the rooms while my sister was in the Mickey Mouse Club at Disney. I was in the rooms, you know, whatever, being a kid and jumping around. And they were like, who's that lady next door? Tell her to shut up. We're trying to shoot her here. And my mom would say, no, it's not a lady. It's my son.
Corey Feldman sat on my face and didn't even fart.
Thank you, Zenpai. That's so funny he would even tell that story. That he would even own himself like that. Tell that fucking that lady who clearly has been smoking for 20 years to shut the fuck up.
Right. He's notoriously has like a deep voice until now.
No, that's my son. That's not
a
lady.
Sexy lady.
That's my son.
You know, he's got a voice like he's an older woman or something, but, you know, it's a kid. And so when they go, oh, well, let's see this kid. And they couldn't believe that it was like a little 4-year-old that had this gruff.
Yeah.
What is the word I'm looking
gruff.
For? Gruff, but rusky. Does that make sense?
No,
husky voice. There you go.
Husky voice.
And it was very like, and that's why I got the part of Fox.
Wait,
and the
why
Hound,
did they think that was a woman?
4 years old.
Why did they hear the voice he just described and think it was a woman?
Well, because it's probably still high pitched, but it just sounds like a rough, like old lady.
Yeah,
that's probably what they thought it was.
Holy shit, Marge Simpson's in there?
Yeah.
When I hear women's voice, I don't think gruff and husky.
I think rusky. I love rusky.
Ruples?
Sounded like a baby hound dog.
Right, but fortuitously, you can't act. So what I'm saying is,
luckily,
you could be acting. You could be acting now, and most people would not be able to denote it.
Well,
I
would hope not.
Okay, well, that gets to my little questions here. Okay. We'll get
now. We're getting deep.
Now he's getting the ire.
People will think.
Yeah, Corey doesn't
about
like
you
him
as
saying
an actor,
that.
And that's a downside. That is actually a
it
downside.
Does get to one of these magical questions.
Okay,
I have.
Fine. Then I'll save it.
Well,
so, what
liar?
Was one of the movies that you said was going to make people mad?
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Okay.
So I was actually cast to play Leonardo DiCaprio's role.
Okay.
I never saw the film.
Retarded guy.
Because I'm still bitter leaf in that one, but. But yes, I was originally cast for that role.
Did they push you out or
Johnny Depp? he was cast after I was, and apparently whispered into the producer's ear that he wasn't fond of me and thought that I was.
Was there a reason he wasn't fond of you?
Yeah, he said I was a junkie and that he didn't work with junkies.
classic Johnny Depp W. That's a dub for Johnny.
And I mean, the obvious thing here, I saw a few people mention this. If this was true, if there was even a piece of this that was true, he would have said this story a million times already.
Yeah.
I feel like the only thing I could guess is that he's seen that Johnny Depp is kind of, even though he's like kind of back in favor, he like fell out of favor a bit with all the Amber Heard stuff, even though people kind of rallied back around him. So he just sees it as maybe a potential easy target that's big enough but also would probably not really bother to respond to anything he's saying.
Well, and I also fully believe that Johnny whispered in someone's ear and said, get that junkie out of here.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
tough
yeah.
like I, well, I don't believe it and I do believe it.
I believe that, but I don't believe they would cast him. I don't believe they would. I believe he would audition for it.
Well, but also like River Phoenix died in Johnny's club or whatever.
Corey's going
like,
to bring that up. Okay. Corey does bring that up.
Yeah.
Well, you know what it might be too is that like Corey's on these fucking like bedroom podcasts all the time. These fucking dog shit shows. We're always clowning on him for being on these shows. I think he views this as like a real thing. Like,
yeah,
like, oh,
you're right.
Billy Corgan, a known guy. It's still a podcast, but he's like, look at this room I'm in. I think he's viewing this as like a real interview. So he's like, I need to come up with something meaty. I can't just like tell the stories I've told a million times. I need to slander a Hollywood star really quick.
Yeah, and you're right. He's like, you know, he's not going to burn this story on the 80s dude's Instagram or whatever. But also, I think he just keeps conflating, and I'm
Obama.
I'm even.
I didn't get a super chat name earlier. Hash filth pigs.
Huh? She naps. I don't know. It didn't say that was your first super chat. We'll give you one, but not yet. You have to remind us later. I think he's conflating with just auditioning. That he keeps trying to oversell it. Like, oh, I had the role. They cast me. Mm. I'm sure he went into a room and read from the script for it.
Yeah, he's like, duh. Yeah. He did a really bad.
Johnny totally made fun of his music. That seems to be the nucleus of anyone who's for him or against him.
Well, Johnny Depp was also in a band too, right?
Yeah, he still is
in a band. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I think he's just he's conflating these things of like happened to speak to a casting agent to know I had the part. It was a done deal, and then Johnny Depp shit on my dreams.
Obama.
You broke it, guys. That was Pork Patrol, Ooh. Swine, Stormtroopers, Hogwarts, Boar Bobs. I think that's how you broke it, unfucking believable. Thanks a lot. The Mud Reckoning cometh, Corey. And then a bunch of pig emojis.
Okay.
So that's his super chat.
Good stuff.
And this is the first time I remember ever telling this story, so I'm sure I'm going to get hung by this one. But yeah, anyway.
Were you using drugs or?
No, I was sober. I'd just gotten sober. I'd just gotten out of rehab. I turned my life around and, in fact, was trying to help River at the time.
Right.
Yeah, here we
who
go.
He was running with at the time.
Right.
As we all know, River's last night on Earth was at Johnny's establishment.
Mm. He basically killed him.
He basically killed him. I tried to say no.
He called me a junkie and killed my friend.
He killed my friend. It was the second worst thing he ever did. The first was when he got me fired from Gilbert Grape.
So, as you can imagine, there was a bit of a thorn in the side on that one.
Sure.
I was supposed to be the big fat mom, but then Johnny Depp called me a junkie.
Yeah, I was on probation, so I couldn't do coke at Johnny's club. So a bit of a thorn in my side.
I had not been pushed out and done that role. Who knows what would have happened from that point forward.
That was kind of one of those watershed moment movies.
That's, right? That gave Leonardo his first nomination.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
welcome to the Would It Coulda Shoulda podcast.
That's a fallacy right there. Right? Show,
wait, so
Corey's assuming it's like a fallacy there because Corey's assuming, oh, well, Leo got nominated. So if I would have done that role, I would have gotten nominated.
Yeah.
And
but
that's how Corey views himself, is that he thinks he's so good that were he to simply have been in the movie, that would have been his.
But I can relate to that because it's very, like, if that is true, if what he's saying is a true story, that's like when I think about how our channel back in 2010 was getting momentum and it got taken away. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of woulda, coulda, shouldas. It's like, oh, Jesus. Like, well, what the fuck? But it was meant to be because now we have a Corey Feldman show.
Well, and it's great to have woulda, coulda interview shoulda.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, there was a bitter tea there, but yeah, that said, you know, I mean, you don't hang on those, you get past them. And then ironically, just a couple years later, I also was up for Titanic. So there was kind of a double banger with Leo.
What? Sam, you know what happened here? Here's my belief, and this is exactly what happened. It's my belief, and it's also an absolute fact, is he went into this, he concocted this What's Eating Gilbert Grape story beforehand. He's like, yeah, that's what I'll say. I'll say Johnny Depp got me fired from it. But then he started rolling.
Obama.
He broke it. Thank you, Chad Martin. Then he started rocking and rolling with the story, and he felt even more confident. And he's like, and you know what? I also was up for Titanic. But Johnny Depp called me a junkie, and James Cameron fired me from the film.
Yeah. James Cameron found me at the bottom of the sea.
Well, he was up for the role that Kathy Bates ended up playing.
That was okay, because that one I wasn't as close. Like, I was up for it. Mm. I read for it. I know that I was in the contention somewhere. Another one was
Imagine,
Lord of the Rings.
1994
I was actually up for...
Dude, because he's still rolling, too. Now he's also Lord of the Rings he was up for. He's up for Sean Astin's
part. I was
going to
be the world's
part.
Tallest man. I was going to be Sauron himself. I was going to be the Witch King.
I was supposed to play a mere tree, and they said I wasn't a mere tree. I was an ant. And I said, that doesn't make any sense. It's against my constitution.
I was supposed to be Saruman, but Christopher Lee was like on his deathbed or something. Who's on the line?
Who's on the line?
Yeah, there's a rumor headed on Maze Watching. I just want to say, if you are, this is the exact kind of shit we're talking about.
Yes.
So sorry to interrupt your show.
No, that's a great point. You know Heather Dawn Maze Watching. I feel like little by little, we keep cracking at that rock. Because like I said, there's always a friendship arc in the horizon. Mm-hmm. Heather Dawn May is going to be, she's going to become our Heather Dawn May.
Yeah, I'm cracking at that pussy.
You didn't have to go there.
Jim, don't say the words crack and rock when we're talking about Corey. It's going to ruin it for him.
Don't act like you wouldn't eat her pussy.
I will act like it. I'm sorry.
What would Oscar win if he hung up?
Yeah, thank you, caller.
I was just going to ask him if he'd eat her pussy.
Okay, because that one I wasn't as close. Like, I was up for it. Mm. I read for it. I know that I was in the contention somewhere. Another one was Lord of the Rings. I was actually up for Sean's role. And I heard I got pretty close on that as well. And then
that would have been a perfect movie for you.
It would have.
Why would he say that?
Yeah. Bow.
Yeah, was that a height joke, you think?
Yeah.
You're like 5'3".
That would be great. I don't know why he's Corey, too.
Because he kind of sings like Corey that way.
Yeah. Corey Feldman voice.
The world is a Corey.
I was up for many wow. Secret wolf pack.
So I'll give him that. He did a great job aesthetically being able to add that weight. It's something I cannot physically do.
I wish I had your problem.
From the chat, Frodo Buns.
I just saw that. That's a good one.
I like how Corey is like, yeah, I didn't get it, but I never could have gotten as bad as Sean Astin, so yeah. I guess good for him.
He really does own him.
So I'll give him that. He did a great job aesthetically being able to add that weight. It's something I cannot physically do.
I wish I had your problem.
Even if I stuffed myself with...
Oh, you broke it. Depp is friends with Manson, so Corey's talking shit. Oh. Yeah, very true. Excuse me, very true, Cocoa Butter.
Donuts and, you know, ice cream and all the
This is my dream. Sorry, I wish I could eat whatever I want.
I can teach you. I could change your entire thing. I mean, literally, I could. Just because I've been doing it my whole life, but...
What would you change?
Well, I don't know that much about you, so I'd have to ask a few questions. But what are your diet? What's your diet?
I'm a vegan.
You are a vegan?
Yeah.
Do you still struggle?
Oh, yeah. I even owned a vegan...
Wait, that's all he was going to do. He needed questions. He's like, wait. I was just going to say be a vegan.
Yeah. Number one, he didn't expect a follow-up question. He was just talking shit. And then he was completely taken aback by, he was like, well, what would you do? How would you change? You're saying you would change my whole life. And you're right. His whole gold at the end of the rainbow was just going to be like, be a vegan. Don't eat meat. It's great.
Yeah. I was also a vegan for a year and lost 40 pounds. Oh, wait. I did a bunch of cocaine. There's a secret to being frail and gaunt. And it's that veganism helps.
I could change your whole life.
Yeah. I got one secret trick.
It's called California Sober.
Yeah, it's called Wormwood. It'll get rid of all the worms in your belly.
I did not know that.
North of Chicago.
Wow. Well, good job.
We'll have to have you come in sometime.
I would love to. Maybe when we're playing.
Are you vegan? I thought I read that, but I never trusted
anything. I'm vegetarian, 80% vegan. I still do butter because I like cooking with butter. It gives the authenticity of the
taste. I grew up in Chicago. It's all about the butter.
Exactly, right? I don't do milk at all anymore, so I cut out all the dairy mostly. Yeah. But I do cheese and butter. Those are my two cheats.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. I think Billy Corgan was like, all right, this is where you're starting to realize I'm talking to a fucking moron now.
Yeah.
Because so you're not a vegan, basically.
Yeah. 80% vegan. Yeah. Just a couple dairies in there.
And he talked
about... You guys already make the California vegan joke?
Yeah, good. I mean, because the way he talked about cutting out milk was like, it made it seem like it was recently. Now, not to Jim and them nitpick, but I mean, we're nitpicking his vegan lifestyle because if he can't tell the truth about that, what else is he not telling?
Well,
he just said
he's a vegan, and he's like the big difference between
cowards
and vegetarians is like cheese, milk, honey. Like, those are kind of like, I know there's lots of stuff, but like those are kind of the big ones, gelatin, stuff like that. But he just basically was like, well, yeah, the two major ones, I still love those.
Vegan, I can't be
evening cowards.
Do you drink? Do you drink alcohol?
I do not.
Wow.
Stone cold sober. Pretty
and you're
much
still a fat so
you
piece
are
of
a,
shit.
You are an anomaly, literally.
Vampire is the word.
He said it, I didn't. Okay.
Well, how is he a vampire?
The joke. Cowards.
The key line is,
he's the world.
I'm not.
Well, yeah, he's an anomaly because he doesn't drink and he's a vegan, but he gains weight. Is that what Corey was saying?
Yeah.
Cowards.
Thank you for the subs. This is when Billy Corgan keeps trying to talk about the joke, and Corey, to tell the story of the joke, has to basically tell the story of his whole musical career.
Okay.
You are an anomaly, literally.
Vampire is the word.
He said it, I didn't. Okay.
So,
such chemistry.
The key line is it, I'm not the joke you are, or...
Clearly never heard the song.
During that song, I'm sorry, I didn't get past the train horn.
It's amazing how wrong he gets it.
I'm not the
Goofy. God, I love that.
Is it not me, you?
Corey can't remember. He's like, yeah. That is the line.
Actually, that's good.
That is the line.
Can we get back in the studio?
Actually, line is smoking at the pocket about it, too.
Say that?
No, but what's the key line? Sorry. The actual lyric.
The joke is on you.
Sorry, this is my bad paraphrase.
Hope you like my drip from the tomatoes you threw.
Right.
That's the opening line.
But are you doing some kind of, you know, modern life commentary? You know, like I'm the mirror.
Maybe a little bit, but I don't think it's really about that. It's more about literally hitting it on the head of. So we were touring last year. And, you know, look, we're, you know, obviously I've been doing this for a very long time. I've been putting out music for 35 years, and it's been a very slow build. You know,
good evening,
I like to
cowards.
Say I'm an overnight success after 35 years. But, you know, literally it was like nobody cared. And I was just making these songs for.
I know we've made this joke, but like no one. They still don't care. I don't know. What is this success he keeps trying to sneak in?
Yeah. All like, these, even underground bands find success, but not me.
Yeah.
It's Surville, baby.
It's like, don't get me wrong. Like, just keep, if you want to do it, keep doing it. But don't act like people are just discovering you and you've really hit it. And now everyone's like, wow, so great.
For film soundtracks and putting out these little indie albums, and I had a small little, you know, following, and every show we played was sold out, but we could never play bigger than like a 1,200 seater.
Sure.
And nobody would give me that time. Nobody would give me that space. I had so many doors slammed in my face. Oh, you're an actor. Nobody will take you seriously. Nobody will ever take you seriously. And that
is
was
this
just
coming from the music business,
yeah,
or
from the music business, from, you know, the film business. Everybody
street,
just wanted to not give me that shot.
Jim and them.
It was very, very
colleagues.
Do you feel
it's
something
members.
That is not well?
Kind of, because I've been through this, and I'm not trying to project my shit on you, but do you feel at some point it almost comes like strangely personal?
Yeah. Oh, it was very personal.
And by the way, I'm asking you in this context, and I hope you understand the gist of the way I'm asking. When you feel like it's personal, I oftentimes find myself wondering, what's the crime?
Right.
So, like, what crime have you committed?
Oh, well, actually.
Yeah.
I have a wiki page, and a big part of it is the allegations on me. Well, SAG-AFTRA kicked me out.
Let that question sit for a minute, because look at his reaction, because he doesn't know where to go with that. Like, you know, because... Because Billy Corgan's talking about like a figurative crime, like, but Corey's like, oh no, is this a sting?
Yeah,
throws
ninja vanish and runs out.
If I ask you if you're a cop, you have to tell me, or else it's entrapment.
You know the rules, Billy.
he tries to throw the smoke bomb, it goes off in his pocket, and he starts yelling at himself.
He turns into a log like Naruto.
But yeah, let's see. Yeah, what is his crime?
A child of Hollywood.
Right.
I mean, that's the crime. The crime is there's what I've come to realize. I don't know if you got to see my film when I put it out, My Truth.
I've not seen it.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. It's hard to find since we don't allow it to be out there anymore because it was stolen. It was pirated.
Hope you saw my film that's impossible to see. Did you get a chance that one night? Were you in the room?
I love that no one asked the question of, you know, he's saying we can't put it out because it was stolen. What does that mean? What is the rationale there?
It's like when an album leaks and then they have to like scrap the album.
Have they ever? Usually they just release it earlier. Like when an album leaks, they're like, fuck, it was supposed to come out next month. We're going to release it this week.
No, Cardi scrapped his whole album.
I mean, well, that's true. Cardi and Corey are from the same ilk.
It's
so
true.
I would love it. Billy's like, I only saw the 45-minute version on the Jim and Them YouTube. It was gone for a while, but it's back now.
Oh, yeah, someone did take that down. I remember. I used to watch that all the time. Then it got taken down. Is that what you mean?
Is that what you're talking about?
Pulling his collar.
Given out,
I did read about that
and all of this stuff. I mean, it was one of the most heinous, horrendous, horrible receptions of a cry for help that I've ever seen in my life, and Hollywood should be ashamed of it. But
that's your crime.
You didn't release it.
Well,
to anybody.
My crime was that I was a kid who was molested, who was given drugs. And
wait,
so
I
what
thought
do
he
they
wasn't
do
molested.
To those kids? They make sure that they don't.
I mean, his movie was mostly about how Corey Haim was molested. I mean,
we've always brought that up, that he's walked that back hard, that it was all Corey Haim and basically nothing happened to Corey.
Well, there was the time the guy gave him like Quaaludes or whatever, and he woke up and the guy was like going down on him or something.
Yeah,
so
he chased him down the street.
He did say that. But yeah, it's, and again, we're just going off his movie because his movie surprisingly didn't get it. If there, I'm sure things happened to him. But, like, the movie gets into Haim. It doesn't really... It talks about how Haim was basically the gay sex monster. Like, that's what the movie should be called. Corey Haim.
Gay sex monster.
A.K.A. Jeff's character that he goes into on Twitter.
Gay sex monster here. I'm just here to have gay sex.
Have the power of the boys when they get older. So, the, basically, you're, you know, the unsung hero. You're everybody's favorite. You're the future of Hollywood. You're the golden child. And then you turn 18, and it's like, oh, remember when he had a career? And you're like, wait, what? 6 months ago, I was the golden child. What happened?
I'm in Meatballs 4.
Oh, when he got arrested for drugs, his career's over. What? What do you mean?
I'm then I was up for Iron old. Man. They I'm wouldn't even let me come started. Back.
Yes, I did have a drug problem because you people gave me drugs.
Oh, here we go.
Tend to get addicted when you're given drugs as a kid, right?
Yeah.
And especially if you've got years and years of abuse that you're trying to squelch the pain from, it's kind of obvious that there's going to be a problem. And they know this. You know, this isn't the first time this has happened. It's a systemic issue.
I say this in sort of brotherhood, not to glom onto your story, but like if we're playing the game on what's your crime, my crime was telling the truth about my generation.
Right. And my crime was the same, I guess.
They hated
the- Look, he won't even let Billy Corgan like be a part of the conversation. He's like,
Jesus.
Well, and Billy Corgan's full of shit, too. What's he talking about?
Well,
he made a bunch
of
stinkers.
He explains it right here, which I don't know enough. I didn't follow them outside of like their radio hits to know if what he's saying is the truth or not. But he does kind of back it up as Corey was like interrupting him.
I told the truth that this generation that was presented as integral and everybody was too cool for school, I kept saying, no, this is totally full. These people are performers just like anybody else, any other generation. You can put a stripey, cool grunge shirt on it, but we're all ambitious and everybody wants to win. And Kurt Cobain was as ambitious as everybody else. So.
Right. And in that.
And you knew that.
So I don't know how true that is, but I do. I mean, I grew up in the 90s, so I do remember everything was like, no selling out, man. Like, we're just... Can't you just let us make music? Why are you giving us all this money and fame?
Well, Cobain was like famous for that, right? He was like, we're all going to share our money. And then Nevermind came out and he's like, I deserve all the money.
Well, and Cobain was famous for immediately hooking up with Courtney Love after Corgan was famous for immediately hooking up with Courtney Love after Cobain died.
Did that happen?
Her one successful album he wrote.
Oh,
actually,
I didn't
two
that.
Successful albums, one Kurt wrote and then one he wrote. So.
It's called You Knew the Hollywood Version.
Of course, but not only the Hollywood version, the music version too, because not only that, you have to realize I'm coming from the 80s where Michael Jackson tells me my song What's Up
Love
with
this
the
story.
Youth is going to be a number one hit. I played it for him in the car.
Yep.
You know,
we said
this song is incredible, Corey. This is a number one song. If I walk this into Tommy Mottola right now at CBS Records, I can get you a number one song.
What I love about this story is that we here at Jim and Them have heard it so many times that I am literally in the car when it happens.
Yeah, and it's like a memory of mine.
I feel
it's not even
all
a story
three of
anymore.
Us. Yeah. It's like an old, like, you know, even though I guess this would have been in like the early 90s or something, but it's still, I picture it's like an old 70s, like boxy car. Mm-hmm. And we're in the back. We're all three of us just sitting in the back and we're just like in awe of Corey Feldman and Michael Jackson up in the driver's seat and shotgun.
We're all doing cocaine with everyone in there.
Yeah,
in
we're
the
all
car,
doing coke.
Corey.
And then the song plays and then Michael just hits eject after like the first 30 seconds. And he's like, you know, Corey, that's a goddamn hit. I could walk in to Tommy Mottola's office, CBS Records, and we could just make it. We could blow up right now.
And I want to do it on my own, Michael. I want to do it alone.
It's so funny. I've heard it so many times. Even though I know it's not true, to me it's true now. It happened.
It's
in
real
my
to me,
memory.
Damn it.
Yeah.
And I said thank you anyway.
How old were you at that?
18.
Okay. That's pretty Eddie.
Yeah. And I was like, thank you, but no. Because number one, I'm your friend, and I don't want you to think I'm just another guy trying to get some shit out of you.
Which would have been everybody in the world at that point.
Exactly. And number two, if I do it that way, then it's, you're the Michael Jackson protege. I'll be a one-hit wonder. Everybody will compare me to you for the rest of my life.
Funny.
And then what?
Isn't that so funny that he would say that?
If in your head you had a chance and you like squandered it for no reason, that is what you have to tell yourself.
But just the idea
of saying,
the idea of being like, but then they just be comparing me to Michael all the time. But it's like he now openly, he's putting that in our brains
his
now.
His entire life, ever since he started music, he started dressing like Michael Jackson, dancing around with him and hanging out with him.
I couldn't handle that. I couldn't be compared to Michael that often. How would I handle that?
You know, where you go from there as an artist, you're done.
Yeah.
So I thought, if I'm going to do this, I've got to do it myself. It's got to be legitimate, and I've got to earn my stripes. And if that means playing shitholes for the next 20 years, then so be it. I'll play the shitholes for the next 20 years, which brings us up to
the shitholes.
Where we were. And by the way, Howard Stern just, you know, smashed it like a pumpkin.
Remember this question was asking about the song The Joke, by the way. Like, keep that in mind.
What does the name mean? And he's like, well.
With everything, by bringing me on his show with smashed that like a song pumpkin. That Michael guest would become number one, and making a joke out of it.
Okay,
making
a
fraud out of it.
Why did that happen? Sorry.
Because he said, hey, I'm going to come on my new show. And I said, well, I'm trying to push this new single. You know, is it like, what's the format? I'd never seen the show. I just assumed he's like any other radio.
Just like he's never seen Jim in there.
I did his radio show prior to that where everybody had warned me, you know, Howard Stern, he's really mean, he's really cruel, he'll do really awful things. And I was like, oh God, I was terrified. But Sam kept saying, you got to do it. I was very good friends with Sam Kinison. He'd say, you got to do it, you got to do it, you got to do it. Okay, fine. So I did it when he died. So the day that Sam died was the first time I did Howard, and Howard was very sweet.
If you keep in track, that's yet another dead friend that Corey fell. All his friends, all his best friends have died, so they're not around to tell you if they were or were not friends with him.
Yeah, to dispute every word out of his mouth.
Why would he be close friends with Sam Kinison?
Yeah, you know,
what would
why?
They have in common?
That's true. What would they be hanging out doing with each other?
I mean, let me just look up this guy's wiki.
He was very welcoming. He was very warm. We had an immediate bond.
Yeah.
And so I did the show two or three times in succession, and he said, come out to New York, come do the TV show too, it'll be great. So I'm going with the idea that he's been really sweet, he's been great. I came in through Sam, so he knows not to mess with me, everything will be fine. And I get there, and they said, we're gonna do a skit, it's called Club Howie, and you're gonna perform, but we're gonna act like it's Club MTV, but you know, I'm dressed as Right Said Fred, and so it'll be kind of funny, but it'll be like you performing, and the performance won't be funny, it'll just be you performing.
Sure.
Right, but nothing.
Okay, I can go with that.
Nothing about the performance is funny except you. Like, the rest is like
the midget.
Like, it's what he told you.
The
it's
rest is funny,
you.
Though. Like, everything happening around him is funny.
Right, but that's
but
what
you're
he told
right.
him.
Yes. I do love, because we've always had this question of, like, how did he get him to do it? You know what I mean? So at least we're hearing some version of that from his point of view, where, I mean, he admits himself he had been on the radio show before, so he kind of still knew the vibe. But again, like, how do you not get it when you, even if they're telling you, like, oh, yeah, don't worry. Yeah, Howard's dressed up as Right Said Fred. Yeah, you know, we're doing this whole, like, Club MTV vibe. Don't worry. Your performance is going to be serious, though.
Yeah, it's going to be MTV Unplugged.
I do it, and I walk out on stage, and there's a midget in a hula skirt. And there's guys passing blow-up dolls in front of me and acting like they're mentally impaired. And, like, I'm going, what is this? What is this? This mockery. So they took my music and they made it a form of mockery. And that was the initial launch. I mean, the only thing that I had televised prior to that was an amazing reception when I performed as the first performance at the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards back in 1988 or 89, where, you know, I came out and the fans were going crazy and the kids were screaming and it was like the Beatles and it was nuts and it was great. And every show that I'd done privately was exactly like that.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden now Howard put this whole other spin on it to make it a joke.
Right.
Fast forward to...
Do you think...
I've been fighting that stigma on and off.
But
right,
just because I don't know the moment. But in hindsight, do you think it was just they thought they were having a bit of fun?
Well, I love how his thing is like, I was performing in front of, like, dumb kids, and they thought it was awesome. But then all of a sudden, I'm with adults, and it's lame and stupid. I don't understand.
Yeah.
I was in front of horny teens that wanted to fuck me. They accepted my weird thing I was doing.
And also, Billy Corgan, I mean, he's trying, man. He's trying to get this back on track.
It's
he's
great. Like, yeah.
He's like, where are we going? I asked about the joke. Now we're in 1997, fucking talking about being on the Howard Stern Show.
You released this song, what, 4 months ago? We're in 97 now? Well, okay.
And it's great because Billy Corgan...
Obama.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't do anything.
Chat Martin.
Think it was purposely mean-spirited.
Yeah, I think it was very mean-spirited.
I didn't mean to unpause that. The fact that Corey said Michael Jackson wasn't a pedophile makes believe that Michael Jackson was a pedophile. Yeah, that's true. Because everything Corey Feldman says is typically a lie. My main thing with that, though, is that, and we've talked about this on the show in the past, if Corey knew anything about that, he would use that for his own gain, and he would be outing Michael Jackson because it would
he
be more,
drug him through the mud.
It
already.
Would be more attention for him.
Well, he kind of did. Like, he turned on him. Like
when that documentary came out, he kind of did turn on him there.
And then he's.
But if he knew more, yeah. He would have really, yeah. Like, there would have been more.
You know, he didn't turn his back on that rapist friend of him that he's done movies with since. that convicted rapist.
Yeah, Dominic Brascia. Zenpai walks by a mirror. There's a midget in a hula skirt.
Well, and what I love about this, because Billy Corgan is a known just like perfectionist musician guy. It's clear that he tried to listen to 2 seconds of his music, didn't listen to any of
yes.
it because he doesn't know the line from the joke. He doesn't know anything about it. Like, he couldn't listen to his music. It, like,
because he's probably like,
ill.
He was like, if I listen to this, I'm going to hate this guy's guts. So yeah. I'm better to go in this ignorant and just ask him about it and hear it from the horse's mouth.
This because one of the producers who wrote that sketch was Mark Cronin.
I love
Mark
this.
Cronin went on to pretend to be my friend years later when he approached me and said, hey, we've got this new concept. We're going to put 7 legends, icons together in a house, in a home, and watch what happens when we put these amazing people together and see how they bond, how they form a friendship.
What
and
was
how
that
they
show called?
Life.
I can't remember.
The Surreal Life.
Yeah.
Which, of course, was not putting 7 icons in a house, but let's put 7 guys we used to think were cool in a house and make fun of them.
Yeah.
I love that and guy is a it. That guy is a fucking legend, by the way. He got Corey twice.
Yeah.
he was like, you know what? Hey, this performance is gonna be great. This is gonna be great for your music career. You need to expose yourself to an adult audience. Howard Stern has a huge audience, it's gonna be amazing. Yeah. And that completely crashes and burns. And even if you listen to Corey, that is the main like ground zero of his music, like talent being thought of as a joke. And then a few short years later, he's like, look, I know we had this whole thing with Howard Stern. I'm going to make it up to you. We're going to get you in this reality show. You're a legend. We're going to get some other legends together. It's going to be amazing.
He's the original Jim in there. He's just played a long con. He's been annoyed by this fucking... He's probably his dealer or something. He's been annoyed by his guy this whole time. He's like, you know what? I got a hookup for you. You're going to be with some legends. Brigitte Nielsen, Vern Troyer, Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav. It's going to be great.
I can't wait to watch you guys bond.
So they didn't tell us what the real goal of the show was. In fact, they promised us to the moon and back that it wasn't that show.
Yeah.
And we'd never seen reality TV before. This had never happened.
That was kind of the first.
It was the first celebrity reality show.
Corey is just in a cabin somewhere working on his art. He's never seen anything. Mm, he's never done anything. He doesn't pettily like watch all of his peers at all times waiting for him to slip up.
I don't know shit about, sorry, Jeff.
You don't know what? I'm sorry.
I don't know shit about any of this stuff. He claimed this was the first celeb reality show. Is that real?
It sounds right, but I don't know.
Well, that's literally what they call it on VH1, a celeb reality. So that birthed all the.
I mean, I guess was it before the Osbournes? I guess it probably was. That could be debatable.
Response to the Osbournes, I think. Literally.
So I mean, maybe it wasn't technically the first, but it was definitely one of the early ones.
Really watch this.
I think we did miss a couple super chats that didn't play, but Mark McGovern earlier is cum vegan. I assume that was during our vegan breakdown.
I guess so. It's not animal made. If it's
it's a fluid that comes from an animal, which is us. So
yeah, but you can eat pussy.
But you don't actually eat it.
What have I been
doing? Army Hammer, Jeff?
Good.
stuff back then?
Neither did I.
I kind of remember.
Well, it wasn't on.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was like when that stuff launched, I'm sure you would have been busy doing more important things, and as would I.
But to be fair to you.
Except you weren't. You just said you were on the show.
You were literally on the show.
My perception of it very much in hindsight was like, you know, they just round up a couple names and they kind of throw them at the wall and see what happens, right?
Right.
So it obviously it's negative to the...
Not only that, but it's about frankenbiting, which is what they call it in reality television.
Can you explain? I don't know that term.
Frankenbiting is where they basically set you up by saying, okay, you're going to answer these questions on an interview much like this, but we're going to deliver the questions to you and you have to repeat the questions back to us to get the answers so that we know where you're at for editing points and we know how, you know, what point in the conversation we're at and blah, blah, blah. So just repeat the questions back. So they would frame things in a way so that when you repeated it back, now they have you saying their statement of whatever it is that you're talking
about. So
you're
agreeing with it.
Correct.
You don't agree with
it. And then they cut out the fact that it was ever a question.
Come on.
And now
who would ever do that
statement
to poor Corey?
How could someone do that?
I just suck at everything I do. It's a complete mystery why anybody would pay money to see it.
Right? That's right, Corey.
So the very first thing was, at the beginning of each episode, I'm Corey Feldman. I'm an icon. I'm an artist. I'm more than an icon. I'm an industry. I never said those words, but that became my famous quote. When you search my name in Google, that was my quote. Like, what a dick.
That's such a Corey quote. Whoever wrote that for him nailed it.
Yeah, that's because the thing is, but also he just said that. That's not, they didn't have to cut that up to make it sound like he said that. You know he said that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Marta May. Thank you for the super chat. Much appreciated.
It's right. So it was a Frankenbit sentence that they literally cut together out of three or four words.
It does get into some of the stuff I wanted to ask you, but
fuck it.
Do you think that kind of cruelty, and I've experienced my own version of it, do you think that cruelty is just the nature of the cruelty of this business, or do you think people were purposely targeting you?
No, there's specific people that are targeted and framed to be put in that light and to be put in that position.
That's true.
And I was one of those, and especially pertaining to my music industry.
Let's stay on the positive for a minute.
I like it. So let me go back to, since we were
the
kind
Goonies.
Of going naturally to where the joke came from.
Yeah.
So remember, we're talking about the fucking joke. I actually trimmed
It's been like an hour.
And I trimmed a bunch of shit out of that, too.
Okay, that takes me exactly where I want to go.
So, yes, there was that kind of always that little knife in my side, right? Ever since Howard Stern, I knew the beast I was fighting, which is that they're always going to try to point me and paint me into this box, into this corner of being a not real artist. I'm not a legitimate
artist.
So
are you fighting the perception?
I was for many, many years. It was like, come on, see me, feel me, I'm real. And then it was like, okay, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go make a whole other band, not put my name on it, not put my face on it. It's going to be called Truth Movement.
Although that was, at least when we saw it, it was Corey Feldman in the Truth Movement, right? When he was on.
Then after that, it was Corey Feldman Band. Like his name has been the biggest part of all of them.
Now, he does mention that there was an album, though, that was just Truth Movement. He took his name off of.
And maybe if I just put out music as a piece and it's art and I keep my name away from it, I can see what people really think. And it worked. We got really good reviews for the first Truth Movement album.
No way.
Very few people even noticed it was me because it's only like, okay, it's in writing, but it's like gold writing Corey Feldman's Truth Movement. But you really see Truth Movement as like the big letters.
Sure.
And that's him. That's such a lie. And that's the similar thing he tried to pull with his My Truth movie. Although they did try to put that My pretty small. Like if you look at his movie's poster, the My Truth, The Rape of Two Corys, he does try to put that small, but there's no way that they had the Corey Feldman's Truth Movement small. It was definitely Corey Feldman's Truth Movement.
And for the second album, I took my name off it completely. So it just said Truth Movement.
But from a thematic thing when you're singing, you know, again, remind me of the lyric because I don't want to...
Well, this is different. No, so I'm going back still.
Still going back.
Okay, my apologies.
We're at 2010 here.
My apologies.
2010, I put out this very poignant, very powerful album that's very similar to the sound of a Pink Floyd album.
Okay, it's good.
It's got that vibe. It's got that feel. In fact, we got Storm Thurgeson as his last concept album piece of artwork to do all of our art, all of the...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the logos, the branding, everything. So then I go back into the solo stuff, and then I'm like, okay, now I kind of have the license to do what I want. Now I can be creative and
did it work?
It did. Well, yeah, Ascension Millennium went viral, and, you know, that was my first hit on MTV, and it was like, you know, 2 million views in like a day or something. It was great. I mean,
there's no way that's true. There's no fucking way that's true.
Yeah, well, and he's just so clueless because we brought this up as well, mymtv.com or something, and we're like, oh,
yes.
Well, it's a goof. He doesn't understand what's going on. He's being made fun of, like, and that's his best song.
Yes. It was so viral that they didn't play it on the channel. It just went viral on the website, especially in a time when it wasn't like things were hitting millions of views like that. If I could do a Jim and Them nitpick. But also I love that he pitches it as like, yeah, you know, I did my time in the dirt. I was with the Truth Movement. I've earned the right to be solo now. And now he rolls out the fucking Corey's Angels, which is like, imagine thinking that there's a debt you've paid where you've earned the right to,
well,
to
yeah.
do Corey's
he
Angels.
He got the dead weight of those musicians off his back. Now he can just hang out with dumb bitches that play tambourine.
Yeah, right.
I was like, okay, we did it. You know, here we are. And the video was cool because it was a breakthrough video, you know, back when they did breakthrough videos.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a one continuous moving shot that never had a break, that never had any kind of stop or edit.
So anyways,
so people
the joke.
Were very impressed by the ingenuity.
But take me back to the joke. You just, I'm...
Yeah.
I know, I get caught. I know, I'm sorry. I'm like that. But I always will come back. So I went through a series. Okay, now we got top 40 Billboard hits.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now so we're still 20 years away from the joke.
He does not have top 40.
God, you're so nitpicky today.
We've been over this a million times. We've looked up the charts. He is in the top 40 indicator chart, which means like it got plays on the radio, like in the nation. It doesn't mean you're on the charts. That's not what you're thinking of when you say top 40. But that's just a quick version. You can watch. We have videos that break this down.
On the Today Show, we got the most views ever in the history of the Today Show. These big...
sorry.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Moments.
He's like almost correct. He's like, a huge moment for my music was the Today Show. Why, Corey? Why was it huge? Because it was so good.
This is a great still. This is that feel when Jim and Them nitpicks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when he keeps sucking.
And, when Jim starts nitpicking and then keeps sucking.
And I mean, I don't think this would happen, but I you know, with him calling us out a couple weeks ago and talking about how we make a mockery of everything that he does, I almost wonder now if he does go into an interview, or maybe he will never do a podcast again, but if next time he goes in an interview, he's definitely going to be like, well, if I say this, Jim and Them are going to say this.
Yeah. I don't want to hear that goddamn horn again. I can't handle the horn anymore. I hear it in my nightmares.
Holy sh! And I'm still going.
You're definitely cracking the zeitgeist.
Right, but am I going to get away with it? You know, so the moment that Today's Show was over, every headline, Corey Feldman's bizarre performance. Corey Feldman was terrible. What's wrong with this guy? You know what I mean? It was like they just nailed me to the cross. And the more they nailed me to the cross, what I found, the bigger the reception, the bigger the audience, the more people wanted to love me.
No.
Because they saw
everyone.
This is gaslighting. This motherfucker. And people, honestly, not to pat ourselves on the back, but this is why we're in the trenches.
Yeah.
We're champions of truth. And I pork a guys for attention hogging and broken chat. Thank you, unfucking believable. But this is what I don't know.
I apologize.
I think he's going with
sorry,
a filth.
I just had a stroke.
But it's a filth pig version of I apologize.
Yeah,
I pork a guys.
Okay.
But this is why we're in the trenches, because I don't understand why people don't post him up on this. You don't even have to be
Obama.
Wolfpack gang, till I die.
Gang.
We
Hell
didn't
yeah.
choose this life. The life chose us, Chad.
Absolutely, Chad. That's basically what I'm saying, because I'm not even asking Billy Corgan to be a dick. I'm not even saying you don't have to try to do like a gotcha moment. All you have to do is like maybe ask a couple questions. Like, wait a minute. Why are you saying this? What are you talking about? This doesn't quite make sense. What do you mean? Like, he's literally trying to say, you know, because of us, Jim and Them, which the joke is basically about us. Yes, we get mad because we keep pointing out bad things, but all that keeps happening is the audience of his gets bigger and people like him even more.
Yep, people
that's
love
money
him.
In his pocket. He keeps getting all that money from everybody hating him, and it's like, no, dude, no, you don't. You don't get anything.
Yeah, he's selling out lunchrooms around the nation.
Literally. Actually, didn't sell that one out, though.
I mean, he's playing in lunchrooms.
He is playing.
He was pretty mad when the camera guy pointed at the people in the room.
Or they heard me. They liked the music just for what it was.
Yeah.
And it was like, you can't tell me that I hate this music. You can't tell me I hate this performance. F- you. Mm-hmm. I like it. And I'm going to stand by that. Yeah, yeah. And that became a thing all in and of itself, which is that suddenly you've got like a real force of fans that are standing up in my favor saying, stop messing with this guy.
Okay.
And that started to change the schematics.
And the kids
now,
of those fans kept committing them to
play
homes.
Riot Fest.
They said they have Alzheimer's 20,000. And dementia. And I'm like, no, they're my fans. And they're like, they have lead poisoning.
And people showed up just to hear our set.
Yeah.
That was powerful. That made me go, oh, okay, this is working. Like, we're finally starting to get somewhere with this. So then shortly after that, they saw that it was working too. And their response was, let's take it back to making fun of him. Let's get rid of all this serious credibility.
So you think it started anew?
Ooh.
Yes, it did start anew.
There's a lot of hot takes on you on YouTube. I noticed
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Woo! 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 Thanks, Billy.
Yeah, your boys.
Love two of your albums, Billy.
Tonight, tonight, Billy.
I do love that the... I mean, I guess it really is he's trying to just build a narrative. And the narrative is that we just keep talking about him because we get so mad that we're trying to take him down. But all we're doing is just making him more famous and more loved.
Mm-hmm. What have you ever created, Jim? By the
way,
you're making him rich.
Yeah. By the way, I'm making him and his ex-wife rich.
Well, and when I didn't watch this video, but I looked at the comments, even people that are completely unrelated from us is like, this all sounds delusional and crazy.
You're right.
Like none of it. It's just like, the only positive is like, he went through a lot. It's all anyone can say.
Yeah, or Goonies is my favorite. That type of shit.
By the way, you can get tickets to my recent show at da-da-da-da-da, right? So they're like plugging themselves as they're trying to desecrate my career.
Patreon.com/JimAndThem.
Patreon.com/JimAndThem.
Merch.JimAndThem.com. Yep. Get your Cory Buster shirt.
Yeah. To the 11K in the chat or 1,100, whatever in the chat.
Yeah,
Thank you for making us viral because he was so viral.
Yes, exactly.
But this guy who came out after the Today Show and he stood up for me and he said, you know what? It was art. It wasn't bad. People try to think it was bad. It wasn't. Let's look deeper at what he's doing here. This is ingenious. This is great. This is da da da. And I was like, wow, look, somebody gets it. This is awesome. I was all excited.
It was a mirror.
That same guy comes back 5 years, 7 years later and goes, I figured out the Corey Feldman thing. It's all a joke. Nobody can be this
and
terrible.
We wholeheartedly disagree. We hate that guy just as much as Corey.
Well, what's great here, listen to this, because Billy Corgan thinks we've finally come full circle in the story and we're getting to the song The Joke.
Not even close.
But Corey is actually saying, like, no, this guy's dumb. He thinks I'm messing around, but this is real. Like, this, my music is real.
7 years later and goes, I figured out the Corey Feldman thing. It's all a joke. Nobody can be this terrible.
Thank you for completing
all
this
the time.
I feel like I got to the end of
but
the
but now you're understanding.
Okay.
It's this guy, the same guy that was praising me and saying how great the things were that I was doing because they were so different and edgy and whatever.
Okay.
Is now coming back.
As I saw
saying,
this in getting ready for this interview.
So
I
you
saw
know what I'm
people,
talking about.
I saw where people were.
See, I like Billy Corgan just decided to barrel over him because that was not his point. Like what Billy Corgan thinks the point is right now was not the point.
Yeah, they're on two very different pages right now.
The point is on him.
But he does outright ask him. He does say that he sees people saying that it's an act, and he does ask him about it. And I'm glad this gets brought up because we still get comments all the time of, like, calling us dumb because we don't understand that, like, Galaxy Brain Corey Feldman is actually just trolling the world or whatever.
Yeah, and we didn't know those were 7 year fans that used to think he was edgy and artsy.
Yeah.
But now they're like, wait, it's a load of crap, and he's doing it on purpose.
questioning whether you're doing some kind of weird performance.
Right, because they're taking clips. Okay, I'm sorry, but you've toured for 30 years. When you've toured for 30 years, how many times has the sound gone out? How many times has the lighting guy...
Oh, my God. If you just took my bad moments, I mean...
That's what I'm saying.
Shop of horrors.
Like, how many times have you hit your tooth into the mic? How many times... I mean, it's just...
We have that clip.
Yeah.
That's awfully specific. That's a pretty specific example.
Yeah, he's not going
to... How many times have you been, like, trying to turn your Hornetron off and plug your guitar in, but the song's already started?
How many times have you done your wardrobe change and they play the click track before you get out on stage?
This that just happens. It's called being a rock and roll guy. It's what you do.
Yeah.
So we deal with stuff. Stuff goes wrong constantly.
Yeah.
And we're constantly having meltdowns and we're constantly...
You and me, we're always having meltdowns on stage.
I love that he knows those are the bad parts, but he just barrels through it. Like, don't give him an answer. Don't give him a chance to say anything. He's like,
you get it.
We're always yelling at our band.
Yeah, you're on stage. You're a guitar player. He can't put his guitar down for 1 second and turn on the snow machine, and you have to yell at him. You understand it, Billy.
That just happens. It's called being a rock and roll guy. It's what you do.
Yeah.
So we deal with stuff. Stuff goes wrong constantly.
Yeah.
And we're constantly having meltdowns, and we're constantly acting like everything's okay to get out there in front of the audience and put on a
but
smile.
But for the sake of this, and I feel like this is even so beneath us, but can you tell me definitively, there's nothing performative about what you're doing. You are doing what you want to do.
It's all performative.
No, but I mean performative meaning you're playing Corey Feldman, the crazy rocker guy.
I'm not. Just me, man.
Corey is one cool rock and roll guy. Thank you, Max Murder.
Yeah, it's called being a rock and roll guy.
Corey is so obsessed with not knowing what's going on. He really doesn't want to answer Corey's... Jesus Christ, I can't. I want to call them both Corey. Yeah. He really didn't want to answer his question. Like, he really, really does not want to answer this.
It's all performative.
No, but I mean performative meaning you're playing Corey Feldman, the crazy rocker guy.
I'm not. I'm just me, man. I'm just the artist. I'm just doing what I do.
Even though we've had these two encounters.
Right.
2 to 12 encounters.
Whatever they might be,
But my point is I know that's you being you because I've had the pleasure of getting to know you a little bit.
Right.
So when I see you on television, I know that.
I'm not perfect. I'm goofy.
No,
I'm
but,
awkward.
But I'm saying
I am as imperfect as God made me.
I like the idea of you maybe as
he's
a
what's the he's adorkable.
Yeah, he's adorkable. He's quirky. he's just a quirky ass white boy.
Yeah, he's just an adorkable little guy. Knocks his tooth out and yells at his guitarist all the time.
Yeah.
I love that Billy's trying to give him an out, but he won't let him.
Yes. Billy Corgan is constantly throwing him life rafts, and Corey Feldman is just punching him away every time.
Tearing him in half.
That's because he's still in Titanic mode.
That's true.
Yes, but I like the idea of you putting on the record. No, there's nothing fake about what I'm doing.
Who's on the line?
Who's on the line?
Your favorite president. I'm not doing Corey anymore. Jim loves
Obama.
It. Mike hates it. Jeff isn't decided. Sleepy Joe Biden and Crooked Hillary. Goodbye.
All right. He bailed out. I'll give him credit on it.
So you just called him to say Sleepy Joe Biden?
Thank you, Jew Kane. But the problem is, what are the good rock and roll Corey moments? I think it was all the times when he had a meltdown. Those are all the great
Sunset
moments.
Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, that's a great one.
They buried
Sunset Boulevard.
They buried my gong show performance, my coup de grace.
I followed Wing and Ding, and I had the performance of my life.
I was yelling at my wife in the rain, and they filmed it.
When I am doing my thing.
Right.
That's it, right?
I mean, it is what it is.
I love it.
You know,
because I can't believe there's, like, these hot takes where it's like,
evening,
oh, it's an
cowards.
Act.
Well, yeah,
and
because...
I'm thinking, if he's doing an act, this is, like... It's a pretty out there act, right?
Right. I mean, like, yeah, the act that nobody knows is a joke. So now it's like, you know what? Fine. How about this? If you want to see it as a joke, you go right ahead. And you keep propagating that. Well, I'll keep making my songs, and we'll keep getting more and more followers and
so
audience members.
So what's the goal?
Bigger venues
just...
and
have not we, fans.
I mean, have we seen him? Have we seen him get more followers and fans? And
after this,